Well, we feel really good that we're one step closer to achieving one of the primary goals that the families had when they brought this litigation, which was to prevent Alex Jones from ever inflicting the kind of harm at scale that he had inflicted upon them.
We look forward to infesting your social media feeds with caricatures and grotesqueries of the very people who have ruined our media ecosystem over the last 10 years.
I am going to make a big announcement right now, and that might affect our relationship. And I am pledging myself to Satan and to the Prince of Darkness.
Oh. I read about this last night on a website.
After a decade of trying to shut us down and spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, believe they will be successful shutting us down Thursday night at midnight. But we're starting the Alex Jones Network. And the coordinates of the next phase of the InfoWar is alexjoneslive.com. So if you want to stand against the tyrants and against the censors and against the globalists and against their goal to shut us down, share that URL in your whole email list, your text message list, all over X, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere else. The coordinates of the next level, the next phase, the chapter in the fight against the tyrants is alexjoneslive.com. And go to alexjonesapp.com and download on Android or on Apple free the app for the new Alex Jones Live show that has audio and video feeds, the articles, special reports, and more. The tyrants are counting on you to not take this serious. They're counting on you to not take action. So take action now at alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. The ball is in your court. Roll over and submit to tyranny or stand up and fight 1776 2.0. You're unstoppable. But I know this. The answer in 1984 is 1776. And if they were looking for a fight, they better believe they got one.
This is an emergency transmission from deep in the heart of Texas. The U.S. resistance against a global corporate combine empowered and funded by Communist China, allied with the big mega banks that set up Communist China in 1949. The Communist Chinese have taken control of U.S. telecommunications infrastructure. The Communist Chinese have taken control of Hollywood. The Communist Chinese have taken control of the main universities. This is all confirmed. This is not a drill. Big Tech in Silicon Valley is almost completely run by the Communist Chinese government. They've officially become state-run. Apple, 100%. Google is now making the transition and announcing a merger and total worldwide censorship. They are now beta testing using me as the straw man, a demonized version of Alex Jones, to do that. This is happening. This is not like the other probes before that were meant to get you used to probes and censorship, thinking you would adapt to censorship by just putting up with it. Now this attack is thousands and thousands and thousands of times the magnitude of all previous attacks. This is a titrated dose, reverse psychological warfare operation using adapt and overcome, subversion, paradigm manipulation. In layman's terms, they are manipulating the fact that we adapt to being oppressed. We adapt to being pressed at the low dosages of oppression. Now when the megaton hits us of the total takeover, we try to adapt to the poison infusion instead of not knowing it's a lethal dose if we accept the dose. Total Internet of Things, integration, global social score, complete command and control system. It is the virtual reality AI weapon system now attacking the United States with traitors inside the major security agencies. He's blocking Trump's resistance of the program and attempting to stop us from removing the tentacles of the Chi-Com / Big Tech banking combine emergency situation. I have been chosen for destruction because I brought you this information and have been battering, ramming it out as much as I can. They want to double use me as they always do in any complex system of mathematical deception, where every angle of my good is turned against us. So they take what I've said, being sincere, build me into an insincere person in the straw man. I'm a person that cares about life and children and is against these wars. And so they make me a herder of children. And then they build me into this lie to then set the distraction while they're actually censoring all of you to make a debate about Alex Jones. So even if I didn't sell out to them, they now use me as an archetype to serve them by being the main distraction. I have now been captured by the enemy in the information warfare fulcrum and is being used against you. Only your full understanding of this key will break you free from this paradigm. I have given you the transmission. Now break free.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I'll start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. Do you understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DallasShow.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the Alex Jones Network headquarters here in Austin, Texas. It is Thursday, the 21st of May, 2026, and I got a lot of news for you today. Some major updates on the Iran war. A new agreement has apparently been inked. We'll get you all the latest about that. Some breaking news, we'll cover that in just a second. Also, some pretty major moves by the DOJ today against fraud in Minnesota and elsewhere. We'll show you some very good videos from that. Just a lot of big news, taking your calls in the third hour as well. This is the latest with the war in Iran. Zero Hedge has the story. Tense Trump-Netanyahu call as U.S. presses Iran to sign the document, but Israel wants military green light. According to Axios, Trump continues to say he thinks a deal can be reached, but that he's ready to resume the war if it isn't. U.S. Marines boarded an Iranian-flagged tanker in the Gulf of Oman as it was accused of attempting to violate the U.S. naval blockade. Iran's parliament speaker and chief negotiator Mohammed Bagher Ghalibaf says that Tehran sees signs that the United States is seeking to restart the war. Oil prices have tumbled after Pakistan again touts final deal draft text imminent, followed by Trump claiming the U.S. is in the final stages of peace talks with Iran, though Tehran hasn't budged on the nuclear issue. Iran's IRGC Navy says 26 vessels, including oil tankers, container ships, and other commercial vessels, transited in the prior 24 hours in cooperation with Iranian authorities. And we're also learning more about the damage that was done by Iran to American resources in the region. And it was a lot worse than they admitted, just like we told you it was. U.S. and Iran reach a draft agreement with the mediation of Pakistan. That, according to Iran's ILNA news agency, they post on their Telegram channel that U.S. and Iran reached an agreement on a draft mediated by Pakistan. They say it's expected to be announced in the next few hours. The draft includes immediate and comprehensive ceasefire on all fronts. The parties mutually undertake to refrain from targeting infrastructure. Freedom of navigation in the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz is guaranteed under a joint monitoring mechanism. Sanctions will be gradually lifted in exchange for Iran's compliance with the terms of the deal. Negotiations on outstanding issues shall begin within a maximum of 7 days. Now this is getting more coverage. The risk sentiment improved with stocks rising, oil falling, USD and treasury yields sliding. A private consultant on X at Basha Reports posted the original version published on Al Arabiya TV. The key provisions include that immediate, comprehensive, unconditional ceasefire, mutual, so we just read those, guaranteed freedom of navigation in the Gulf, gradual lifting of U.S. sanctions in exchange for Iran's adherence to the terms, affirmation of compliance with international law and the U.N. Charter. The agreement is stated to enter force immediately upon formal announcement by both parties. So that is supposedly on the table. This has not, as I understand it, been announced or confirmed by official state media in Iran or here in America, but this is the story being spread. Draft of U.S.-Iran agreement reportedly reached, but Trump still pressing nuclear issue. Iran president says they won't back down. So it appears as though the nuclear issue is still a bit of a sticking point. one might say. And, of course, the new leader of Iran came out today and basically said they will never be giving up the uranium that they've enriched and that that part of the agreement is simply off the table. U.S.-Iran diplomacy intensifies as Trump seeks right answers. Tehran signals gap reduced. So, you know, this would be a good thing. It'd be a good thing for the war to end. It would be a good thing to end the hostilities and get back to a world that can feed itself and make money and isn't on the precipice of all-out global warfare with Pakistan and Israel and Russia and China and America and possibly Iran all aiming nukes at each other. We could get back to, hey, maybe not the time before the war, but like a time slightly worse than we were before the war, because in this agreement, Iran will still have sort of veto power of the Strait of Hormuz. They're keeping their nuclear material. Really, they're getting everything they want because they have, for all intents and purposes, already won this war and did a long time ago. So if this is actually announced and this actually comes to fruition, and we actually are at a permanent end of the Iran war, and maybe it'd be a good time to go back to those shows that we did in the first few days of the Iranian war, where we predicted this exact outcome. Pretty much, like 100% exactly what we thought was going to happen. And I remember saying, probably 4 or 5 days in, maybe a little bit longer, but I made a point of saying, this is it. This is the time when we could throw up our hands and say, whoops, we tried, it didn't work, never mind, let's have peace again. And I guarantee you, if we had done that back then, we'd be in a better position than we are now. But we've been waging a senseless on-and-off war for the last 3 months at this point and achieved absolutely nothing, absolutely less than nothing. We've lost the Strait and empowered the radicals in Iran and done nothing else. So the only real outstanding question is, will Israel allow this? Will they allow it? They have a couple veto options, right? Obviously, the influence they have over the Trump administration still can be wielded. Trump is out here saying, oh, Netanyahu will do whatever I say. It's like, okay, sure. Did he let you say that? It's that type of thing where Trump goes, whatever I say, Benjamin Netanyahu will just have to be okay with. It's like, sir, did you get permission to say that? Did Netanyahu say, Trump, they want to think you're in charge. Go out and tell them that you tell me what to do, okay? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I will. It's a little bit pathetic because we just know absolutely and, you know, without question that Trump does absolutely everything Israel does and Israel wants him to and is routinely really humiliated by Israel when he makes very strident statements about no settlements in the West Bank, no bombing Lebanon, you know, a lot of these types of forceful statements that go completely ignored. And Israel just does the exact opposite. And then Trump claims it was his idea, actually, for that to happen. So really just more pathetic lying from Trump. It's very sad. It's a very sad thing to see, but I think we're used to it by now. We're practically used to it. So will Israel allow it? They could just start bombing Lebanon again. That would break the ceasefire. They could bring the blackmail or whatever they have against Trump to bear. There's still lots of ways that Israel could mess this up. And to me, nothing has changed in the actual equation, right? Israel is still on the, you know, cusp of losing everything because of how unpopular they are. As in, it's a matter of time. There's not going to be much, if anything, they could do in the next 10 years to stop the tidal wave of anti-Israel sentiment in the younger generation. So they'll be cut off from American aid within the next decade. They've gambled everything on this. They're basically annexing large portions of Gaza in, once again, flagrant disregard to the promises that they made in the ceasefire agreements and the just endless lies from their, you know, state propaganda about how this was never their intention and they never wanted to do this. They're not even really claiming that anymore. They're just outright admitting that it's all just cynical material seizing of land for their own people. It's nothing. There's nothing higher order about it. No you know, deeper motive pushing them. Just pure cynical mercenary theft of land. So will they allow this to happen? I don't know. I really don't know, because, you know, what's going to happen if that's the case? Iran's going to start to rebuild. They're going to be able to rebuild. I mean, they already are rebuilding their missile program. What was destroyed, even though we're not even really sure too much of it was destroyed with the latest information that we're getting. So Iran's going to rebuild everything that has been destroyed. Obviously, now it's going to be on an even more aggressive war footing. They've shown they have the ability to shut down the strait at any point, so that'll always be a bullet in their chamber, a card in their hand that they can play at any point. If this ends with Iran getting what they want, retaining the uranium, not really, you know, giving up anything in terms of control over any land or the strait or anything like that, it's just a matter of time. I guess it's just a matter of time, because all that's going to happen is Iran is going to rebuild, Israel is going to rebuild, and we're going to gear up for the next round. Only this time, Iran will, you know, hopefully have a little bit more of that, you know, a little bit more power to, you know, stop them from being bombed relentlessly and just let them know. You know, it's really what's said. This is just an extended period that we've taken, whatever, 80 days, 90 days to get here. But it could all be summed up in about a 30-second video of the big bully poking the little kid until the little kid finally just grabs the bully's ankle and drops him on his back and body slams him. That's basically where we're at, is for several decades, really, but certainly the last several years, Israel's been sort of poking Iran, jabbing Iran, bombing their diplomats, bombing their graduation ceremonies, overthrowing their allies in the region, and finally Iran just went, okay, we're hitting back now, slapped them across the face, and now we're at that standoff where Israel's going, oh crap, they fought back for the first time, and that hurt. That actually hurt a little bit, and I'm not sure we want to do that again, but if we stop fighting now, they might actually only get more powerful. What do we do here? So yeah, just, if you just slowed this video down to where it took 90 days to watch, that's essentially the metaphor. That's where we're at. And so, you know, the bully's kind of been given a bloody nose, and it's sort of a dangerous position to be in, because I genuinely do not think that they can, that Israel can like survive not being at war over this stuff. I mean, what's going to happen? Netanyahu's going to have to go to trial. They're going to have to like duke it out in Lebanon, but are they even going to be able to without getting the outrage of America? And again, we really should just keep it on hand. We should really keep on like the show right after October 7th, 2023, and then right after whatever it was, March 1st, 2026. Because in the day after, I was doing shows going, here's what happens. Here's the set of dominoes that is set up here, arrayed for all of us to see. Let's watch as they fall down. And that's just what we've done. So even on October 9th, 2023, it was obvious that what started on October 7th would cascade into a wider regional war that would culminate with Israel trying to take out Iran, that they would not be able to take out Iran without American boots on the ground, and that Trump would not be able to politically survive putting American boots on the ground. And here we are. And here we are 3 years later almost, and it has all come to fruition. We could have avoided it all by listening to the anti-Semites. If only the anti-Semites had been listened to, we were, in fact, the voice of reason. The voice of reason. The only voice of reason. Everybody else out there was telling you it was anti-Semitic to say, hey, Israel, idiots, what you're doing is a suicide mission. You're making yourselves incredibly unpopular. You're not even achieving military goals. And at the end of this, you're going to have to rely on American boots on the ground. And we're all watching you shred babies every day, and we're not going to put boots on the ground for you. You're screwing yourselves over. And we got told they have a right to defend themselves. Well, but they're the chosen people, but you're not allowed to say that. It's anti-Semitic. And it's like, all right, fine. Have fun. How you doing now? How you feeling now about those decisions? I'm fine with it, honestly. I now finally, for once in my life, people feel about Israel like I always have. It's actually wonderful to see. It's actually a total breath of fresh air. I don't know if y'all remember, but it was still like 2024, like midway through 2024, I was still getting in arguments with people on the right. Trump supporters were still holding on to this idea of like, but they're our greatest ally and they're like a democracy in the Middle East. And I kind of go, well, I mean, you know, I think you should look into it a little bit more, actually. And finally, now everybody's on our side. Everybody gets it, except for the liars who also get it, but are in favor of what's going on. Here's the story that, again, it's just, you know, does anybody believe, is anybody buying this? Trump says Netanyahu, quote, will do whatever I want on Iran, and he's in no hurry to make a deal. Iran is looking over the latest U.S. peace proposal, state media said. Iran says it's reviewing the latest proposal sent by the United States aimed at ending the war, with Pakistani Army Chief Field Marshal Asim Munir expected in Tehran on Thursday. Hardline Iranian general emerges as major player in peace talks with the U.S. as negotiations with the U.S. hang in the balance. A hardline Iranian general linked to notorious attacks at home and abroad over the past decades is believed to have seized a place of power, a place near the center of power. This Brigadier General Ahmed Vahidi, who heads Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard, has become a major player in formulating Iran's tough stance in negotiating a possible end to the war with Iran's with the United States, experts say. He's believed to be a part of a small clique in direct contact with Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Mojtaba Khamenei, who remains in hiding after reportedly being wounded in the February 28th Israeli strikes that killed his father. You know, the more moderate, elderly Ayatollah who had a fatwa on nuclear weapons. Remember, they killed him, put his more radical son in charge. Now the head of the IRGC apparently is assumed a position of even greater importance, and these would all be in the losing column of, you know, victories or losses that we've experienced during the Iran war. Unless we intended to make Iran even more of a terrorist state, which, hey, that, you know, it works out either way for Israel, to be honest with you. If you can get a, you know, radical Muslim, you know, violent person to replace Khamenei, get somebody who's less reserved, less tactful, less strategic, you know, maybe that would be good for Israel, because you want an insane, you know, group of unreasonable people, because you want endless war, because that's how you survive. That's just the way that your country is, unfortunately. But it is. So I got a couple videos about this. I'm not sure if we have the Tucker Carlson clip number 25. Tucker Carlson went on Israeli TV and basically humiliated the guy, and it's a total masterclass of just straightforward facts defeating the propaganda. It's really amazing stuff, and they get into all of these topics, including the brutal nature of the Israeli regime and the absurdity of Israel claiming that anywhere else is unlawful or, you know, full of terrorists. Let's go to Tucker Carlson now.
Do you generally believe Israel would try to harm you because of your opinion?
Of course, I don't know. I hope not. I don't want to be harmed.
So Israel is the most violent state in the world, even more than Iran? Are you serious?
No country has boasted more about killing its political opponents than Israel, of course, about its assassination programs. The Prime Minister of Israel gave a golden pager to the President of the United States. I was there. And that golden pager represented the pagers that Hezbollah leaders were killed by. Sure. Yes, Israel brags about assassinating people, and of course it does assassinate people. Many countries assassinate people, but Israel makes a public relations campaign out of boasting about killing its opponents. Killing innocents is never acceptable, period, under any circumstances by any person or any nation. It's immoral. It's the thing that separates the civilized from the barbarous. It is never allowable, period, for any person to kill an innocent. You can't kill a child. The child did nothing wrong. And civilized people understand that. That's what civilized people are. That's the definition of a civilized country.
But it seems like when you speak about Israel as the most violent state in the world, you forget to mention that it is the most attacked state in the world from so many enemies, you know, like any other country in the world. So if you don't put this equation together, it seems like we are doing it for fun or that we lost our morality. This is self-defense.
Well, Israel has definitely lost its morality. There's no question about that, of course. The reason that I have cause to comment on this and to say that it's wrong is that I'm paying for it. There's no reason the United States should be sending any money at all to Israel, and particularly not to its military.
Even
now, Israel
price,
has neighbors that...
Even if the price will be the annihilation of Israel? This is not your problem.
I just don't understand why the United States has an obligation to pay for any of this, to send the weapons for it, to lend its moral authority to Israel, to lend its diplomatic cover to Israel, to lend its air force and its navy and its military to Israel. I don't understand, where does this obligation come from? And no one will answer that question. And instead they say, well, you're an anti-Semite. Well, I'm not an anti-Semite.
All right.
And that's not an answer. What is the answer? And I've never received one. And I know now, because of this war, that America's relationship with Israel, while it may be based on good intentions, is hurting the United States very badly, very badly. We can't afford it. And our standing in the world has declined, and we're implicated in some of the many crimes Israel has committed. I don't think the United States owes Israel anything. I don't think the United States should give Israel anything. I think we should stop all aid to Israel, all special deals for Israel. Tomorrow.
You accuse Netanyahu of dragging Trump into an unnecessary war with Iran. So let's think about
yes.
what it actually means. Do you really think that a foreign leader can pull the president of the United States into a war he didn't want?
Well, I don't think that that could happen. I saw it happen. I was there. And so that happened. So the question is why? I blame Donald Trump for folding under the pressure from Benjamin Netanyahu and his many allies in the United States. Donors to Donald Trump, people in the media class here, were effectively working on behalf of the Israeli government, and Donald Trump, whose decision it was, caved under that pressure.
If the United States would cave in to Iran terror regime that controls now also the Hormuz pathway and the terror ring that it created in the Middle East, maybe it would be even worse for any citizens in the world, not only in Israel, but also in the United States. And this is exactly what Donald Trump said. So you don't believe Donald Trump?
I don't believe Donald Trump. And I also think, as an Israeli, you should pause before using the phrase terror regime, since you live in a country that just murdered thousands of children in Gaza. It's a little hard to hear that from an Israeli right now, I have to say.
You're targeting only Israel, and by that...
Well, of course, I'm not targeting anybody. Okay. I don't have a military. I'm a podcaster, so I don't target people. What I'm saying is true, which is Iran's behavior, the government of Iran's behavior, is in some cases disgusting to me and immoral. But the behavior of the Israeli government in Gaza is disgusting and immoral. And of course, Israel's not a democracy in any sense. There are millions of people who live under Israeli control who cannot vote, right? And so if the West Bank, Judea and Samaria and Gaza, or whatever we're calling these places, which Israel has controlled since 1967, have people living in them who have no control over the government that controls their lives, which is true, it's not a democracy. So let's just drop the talking points. I don't think killing children is self-defense. It never will be. Mm-hmm. And no amount of recounting the legitimate atrocities of October 7th will ever get me to accept this behavior. And Israel doesn't like to acknowledge the existence of universal principles mm-hmm. that apply to everyone equally, even and you.
I love that approach that Tucker Carlson's taking, because obviously the approach now from the Israeli side is to say, we represent Western civilization. It's us, the Judeo-Christian Western civilization, against the leftist and the Muslims. But as Tucker points out, there is no Western civilization that's okay with killing children. That's not a part of Western civilization. That's an abject betrayal of Western civilization. You're not on our side. We know it.
I'm so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten, forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on, but we need your support. your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest, best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 Trifecta Iodine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products, so it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot. Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network, and you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the Alex Jones Network studios. I did it, folks. I swapped my wallet. I got one of the new wallets. It's got all my cards in it. Significantly thinner than my old wallet. I just love how, this thing is literally the size of a credit card. That's what you don't realize until you put it in. Most wallets are significantly bigger than your credit card, but these things just fit incredibly snugly in. This is the new Freedom Shield RFID wallet. So of course it blocks RFID signal, so people can't just walk right by you and scan your card and get your number. So there is the security element, but even beyond that, the look of it, the beauty of this thing, the way it's made, it's got leather and aircraft quality aluminum actually. It's the new Freedom Shield RFID wallet with built-in top grain leather and aerospace grade aluminum, slim, tough, secure, and made for everyday carry. There's two patriotic designs, Don't Tread on Me and 1776. I went with the 1776 one personally. Love that design. Every time you pull this wallet out, you're making a statement, and it's fully loaded. The Freedom Shield RFID wallet can hold up to 25 cards and 20 bills. I've probably 12 cards in here, something like that, and it's still extremely thin, and that's really because it all it is. And you just pull the tab and the cards come right up, easy to get, and then goes right back in. It really is a well-made, beautiful wallet. It would be an absolutely fantastic present for the, perhaps the graduate in your life. People are graduating, and if you're wondering what to get, you know, the young adult in your life, a solid, well-made, well-crafted RFID-proof wallet, I think is the way to go. Get it with the 1776 or the Don't Tread on Me style, and they will love it. They absolutely will. You can get it right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com, and I believe it's let me get the actual price, because I know it's on discount since we're just introducing it, but I also know there's only a few thousand of these available, so these will sell out very quickly. If you want yours, get it now. It's only $49.99. These things regularly sell for upwards of $70. VIP members can get it for only $39.20. These patriotic designs are moving fast, so do not wait. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get your Freedom Shield RFID wallet before they sell out, and sell out they will. But again, they really, I mean, it's sort of rare that you get a product that looks as good in life as it does in the promo shots, but these are really, really good looking products. And they even come with, I even like the packaging that they come in. It's real, like, stylish, packaging, sort of similar to our knives. But like I said, if you want to buy this as a gift, you almost don't even have to wrap it. The packaging is so high quality. It serves as a, it's gift wrapping almost itself. Anyway, thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours today and be like me. You can be just like me and have the same wallet as me. We're going to get back into Israel in just a little bit because we have some news about the flotilla. There was a aid flotilla. We showed the video yesterday of Ben Gavir, I believe the defense minister, somebody high up in the Israeli government, abusing these flotilla members, the flotilla people who were arrested. By the way, they were arrested in international water. They're basically just kidnapped and brutalized and tortured by the Israelis for a little while. They've since been released. At least some of them have been released. They've shown up in Istanbul, Turkey, with bruises all over their body. And I think the important thing, one of the important things to understand about this, there's the image of just one of them. Again, just obvious torture marks. You know, not only did these people do absolutely nothing wrong. Their entire purpose of being there was to try to bring food to starving people. That's the crime they committed. But it's also worth mentioning, most of the people on these flotillas were like Italian. They're Europeans. So it's just, it's the absolute proof of what we've been saying for a long time. Yeah, Jamie Mitchell says they got off easy. So, like, this is one of those things that I want to show to, like, boomers, to, like, the pro-Israel people who think, who are still in the delusion that this has something to do with Arabs or Muslims. No, these are European people. These are Italians. These are Europeans, Christians. And if they try to bring food to starving people, like, you know, their religion demands of them, the Israelis think they get off lucky if they only get tortured and not, I don't know, like raped to death like the other prisoners. So this whole idea of like, why are you on the side of the Arabs? Why are you on the side of the Muslims? It's like, no, I'm on the side of humanity. I'm on the side of the human beings, and it's us versus Israel, and it's human beings of every race, color, and creed versus Israel. And Israel thinks about you and me in the same way it thinks about the Palestinians. That's it. And they gleefully torture you to death if they could. They just don't think they can get away with it quite yet. But they're working there. They're making their way. They're slowly but surely expanding the scope of their operations around the world. So we'll get back into that. I didn't mean to talk about that so much right there, because I'll bring you all the videos and, you know, show you the context and everything, as well as a reaction from some European countries that are not so happy with their citizens being kidnapped and tortured by Israel in international waters. It's actually kind of an egregious overreach and worthy of war, in my opinion. But let's talk about some good. Hey, here's a shocking thing. Some good news. 15 charged in Medicaid schemes that potentially netted a whopping $90 million, with one suspect on the lam after leaping off a balcony. A four-story balcony, apparently. Trump administration officials announced criminal charges Thursday against 15 fraudsters accused of bilking taxpayers out of $90 million courtesy of Minnesota's state-run Medicaid program, including what prosecutors called the largest autism fraud scheme ever. The busts also involved the highest loss amount ever charged in a Medicaid case. Assistant Attorney General for the National Fraud Enforcement Division, Colin McDonald, told reporters in Minneapolis, noting that the sum total stolen would likely top $9 billion. And they've made a bunch of announcements about this. They're obviously touting this success, and it's great. It's great to see. It's great to see actual movement on some of these topics. And it's even better hearing the Trump administration officials talk about it because they clearly understand what's actually going on here. So let's go first to clip number 11. This is the announcement about the federal grand juries indicting those 15 Minnesota fraudsters. Let's watch.
Today, we are announcing criminal charges against 15 defendants in Minnesota for fraud schemes that targeted over $90 million in taxpayer dollars. Let me be clear up front about something. This is not the end of our work in Minnesota. This is not the end of the beginning of our work in Minnesota. This is the beginning of our work in Minnesota. The fraud here in Minnesota is shocking. Our cases today involve seven different state-managed Medicaid programs that have been systematically pilfered by fraudsters who treated Minnesota-run programs as their personal piggy bank.
So that's this McDonald guy who is leading this charge. Here he is, clip number 8, talking about just some of the details of just one of these fraud schemes and just how, I mean, really, you hear this, you think these fraudsters probably should have been charged with murder because that's actually how bad it got. Let's watch.
For example, one defendant is charged with defrauding the Integrated Community Supports Medicaid program. This program is designed to help individuals with disabilities live independently. One patient was supposed to be receiving 24-hour care through this program, but he was actually being serviced by a fraudster and received no services. This patient was later found dead. Meanwhile, the architect of this fraud scheme was billing Medicaid as if he was providing care to this patient. The defendant even submitted a claim of over $400 for services he never provided the day before this man died. In another example, two defendants have been charged for defrauding a program designed to offer medical services to those with autism spectrum disorder. As alleged, the defendants paid kickbacks to parents who brought their children to autism centers, diagnosed children with autism regardless of medical necessity, and billed for autism services that were never actually provided. In one final example, two defendants have been charged in an over $22 million fraud scheme involving the Individualized Home Supports Program. This program was meant to support disabled individuals who wanted to live in their own homes. Instead, these disabled individuals were used like lottery tickets by these defendants to generate millions of dollars, which these defendants used to expand their real estate holdings, purchase luxury vehicles, and splurge on expensive jewelry. We will not, full stop, tolerate this greed and deceit. We will not let fraudsters bankrupt Medicare and Medicaid the same way that they bankrupted the Housing Stabilization Services Program. As mentioned, this is just the beginning.
So is it any wonder that we're bankrupt, that we're exploding in debt? Story from today, U.S. national debt officially hits $39 trillion. We've added $5 billion a day since October, which sounds like a lot. You might think $5 billion a day sounds like a lot, especially when you consider what you could afford for $5 billion. Tell you what, if the crew can, go into Grok and just search, what could I buy for $5 billion? What could I afford? What could the American people, like, I like to, how many brand new state-of-the-art high schools could we build for $5 billion a day, every single day? I think the top line, best of the best, state-of-the-art high school for like 4,000 students with the media labs and the science labs and everything you could possibly want would run you about $300 million, if I'm not mistaken. But that sounds even, I think maybe $50 million might be more like it. Multiple mega mansions. I mean, the thing is, it's so much money, they like don't even know how to calculate it. They're like, you could just get every private island that's for sale if you want. Like, it's at a certain point where you're just like, I don't know, you just would have to buy companies, like invest in, I don't know, an NFL team. Super yachts, a tier one yacht, like a 100 million plus vessel could cost 200 to 500 million. Multiple Gulf Streams, 100 of hypercars. Yeah, this is what a person would buy. Like if I was a government, like how many schools? That's what I want to know. How many hospitals or high schools could we build with $5 billion? Because obviously we're spending this $5 billion. The question is, what the hell are we getting for it? What are we getting for it? Now, people don't know this. They, you know, people on the left especially like to portray it as if all of our money goes towards the military, which a good chunk of it does. I mean, $5 billion a day sounds like a lot till you consider that's less than a month of the Iran war, right? We spent $100 billion in the first month, about. So, you know, just slightly higher than average, I guess, spending in that time period. Or if you're talking about $90 billion of fraud, you know, it's not actually that much at the end of the day. Or maybe $90 billion is just an insane amount. So elementary schools cost about $50 million. Middle schools can cost up to $90 million. High schools. So let's just say just full, you know, best of the best, $100 million. 90 to 140 elementary schools, 55 to 90 middle schools, 25 to 50 high schools. So just taking it, you know, on average, you could say we could build about 50 new state-of-the-art high schools a day. Remember, this is a day. A day. It's a day. We haven't even rebuilt the bridge that fell over in Baltimore. Hasn't happened. We certainly are not mounting a giant scientific crusade to eradicate ticks, even though they are clearly a plague at this point. That might cost $1 billion. I bet you could eradicate ticks as a species if you dedicated $1 billion to it. We're spending $5 billion every single day. What are we getting for it? What are we receiving? We don't even have basic safety. We don't even have a basic functioning economy where people working full time can afford a place to live and food to eat. But we're spending $5 billion every single day in this country. I guess that's how it's going. I don't even know, because that's national debt. I assume it's just all debt now, right? I assume that's not we're spending $10 billion, but only $5 billion is debt. I assume all the money is debt, right? I mean, it could be worse than I'm even saying. More than $1 trillion has been added since October 23rd, 2025, about $5 billion per day. The debt surpassed $39 trillion mid-March and actually fell below it for several weeks before cresting to this point again. Concern about the level of national debt is growing, particularly in relation to GDP, known as the debt-to-GDP ratio. This represents a nation's borrowing versus the growth of its economy, and therefore the risk levels attached to servicing and repaying the debt. The U.S. debt-to-GDP ratio sits at approximately 123%, meaning its borrowing is bigger than the size of its entire economy. You know, this makes me think of something else, and I'm not sure if the crew can find this story. I was not able to confirm it, which is why I wasn't able to actually find a story, but I didn't look very hard. But I'd heard somebody talking about the fact that apparently the EU sent a financial letter to Italy and a couple other countries, and basically they said if your debt to GDP ratio is more than 115%, then all of your national budgets have to be approved first and foremost by an EU committee. Before it's even presented to the legislatures of your country, it has to be approved by some like German economists, you know, to make it happen. Now, I don't know. Again, I wasn't able to confirm that, and I just was not able to find the details on it. But supposedly, Giorgio Meloni got really mad and, you know, recognized that this was an obvious attack on the sovereignty of Italy to set their own budgets and spend their own money. Now they have to get permission from Germany, apparently, to do that. Germany, who has systematically destroyed its own infrastructure and is watching as their industrial base is hollowed out in real time while they bring in millions and millions of foreigners to ostensibly, you know, prevent government debt and fill in the government coffers, but they all go on welfare, so it's only getting worse. I don't know if I would trust them with my financial well-being, to be honest with you. Now, again, I don't have any confirmation on that, but if they're doing it in Europe, do you think they'll start doing that here? Do you think that's a move they may start implementing worldwide, where you have the people, the globalists who are responsible for all of this in charge, driving up the budget, driving up the debt, making the debt to where it is over 120% of GDP, and then going, oh, geez, you Americans are so irresponsible. I guess an international unelected corporate body has to actually dictate, you know, what you're allowed to spend money on. I wonder if that's not part of the plan. But again, just ask you, what do we get for $5 billion? We get a bunch of Somalis. We get a bunch of Somalis taking care of other Somalis. That's what we're paying for. We get basically just an endlessly growing class of government dependents with no future, no desire to build, no nothing. We just increase the number of parasites that we struggle under. Great. No, that's great. European Commissioner Ursula von der Leyen demanding, yeah, the 15% mentioned. Italy's debt to GDP ratio is currently over 135%. The figure 15 does not apply to their debt ratio, but it relates to the $15 billion in loans Italy could apply for. The letter's core argument, Meloni stated it's unjust for the EU to allow financial flexibility and exemptions for defense spending while refusing to exempt extraordinary energy-related measures, especially amid renewed geopolitical tensions. So I'm not sure what the EU rebuffs call from Italy for lenient budget rules. Yeah, so if you can print out that story, I may have some of the details wrong. But I think generally that's basically it's these international bodies, World Economic Forum, the World Bank, the IMF, who are going to come in and go, oh, gee, you're really irresponsibly spending. We're going to have to dictate to you what you're allowed to spend money on. And guess what? Welfare is not going to get cut. Nothing negative is ever going to get cut, because these people are the ones orchestrating, designing, carrying out our full-fledged destruction. Welfare now makes up 66% of all government spending. 47% of that spending goes to boomers. It goes to boomers, the social welfare. So total government spending breakdown for the financial year 2025, totaling $11 trillion. And you see social welfare taking up 47%, federal plus state and local. Education takes another 15%. Net interest is 9%. So 9% of our tax dollars are just going to the banks for the, you know, for the privilege of allowing them to usurp the Congress's sovereign right of printing our money. So, of course, every dollar that's printed comes along with debt that we, the American people, somehow owe to the bankers. National defense makes another 8%. And then the rest fills out the rest, like 20%, but 66% going to social welfare and 47% going to mostly the, you know, paying for the boomers to continue to live. So when you talk about the fraud, the relentless, unending, and astronomical fraud, who knows how much we would be spending otherwise? We're literally talking about billions and billions of dollars. But at the end of the day, we can't even be guaranteed safety in our own homes, a school where the teachers and children all speak English. In Austin, you might call 911 and get put on hold. The police just won't come if there's not an imminent threat. They'll show up, you know, a couple hours later to take a report, and that is the extent of their ability or willingness to do anything at all. In fact, I've got a lot of stories today about Austin in particular, but it's the same in every city all over the country. We don't even have basic law and order. what are we spending $5 billion a day on? We still haven't sufficiently closed the border to a degree that, you know, we're not welcoming in the hordes of people like we were under Biden, but there's still illegal crossings going on. We haven't solved that problem. We certainly haven't deported a tenth of the number of people we should have by this point. But we're spending $5 billion every single day. So somebody's getting it. It just ain't us. It's our money. It's our energy. It's our future and our children's future that's being sold. It just never goes to benefit us whatsoever at all, even a little bit. Which you have to wonder, like, even for the people in charge, how is this even something they would want to do? If it's not because they want to destroy America, like if it's not on purpose, then it doesn't make any sense. Because even if you were corrupt, even if you were like a scumbag, you have to understand that robbing prosperous people to give it to lazy, dependent people can't go on forever. Like, you're setting up yourself for failure. I genuinely don't even understand people that run our country and benefit from our prosperity. You don't want to help out the prosperous people? Like, in the only thing that makes any of this make any sense is they're just deliberately draining our resources, deliberately disadvantaging and making it harder for the middle class, the hard workers, the people who are just, you know, putting in the 8-hour day, while making it as easy as humanly possible for the indigent or the criminal to live like kings. It's impossible for this to be an accident, I guess is what I'm saying. It's actually impossible. So, folks, all I can say is we could use some of that money. We could use some of that $5 billion. But please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and get yourself one of the incredible new RFID Freedom Shield wallets. They're 30% off right now. All this talk about money, you're going to want to keep yours safe as they systematically destroy the value of it. We need to talk about this too, because no matter how much you talk about conspiracy theories, and this is one of those things that, like, when you're a conspiracy theorist for a long time, you always end up as Ron Paul. You always just end up as straight up Ron Paul going, it's the Federal Reserve. It's the head of the snake. The banks are the problem. The Federal Reserve is the bank of banks. Can we cut off the head of the snake already? Can we solve our problem at the root cause, which is the Federal Reserve, which is our entire monetary system, which is the Bretton Woods Agreement, and the dollar is the reserve currency? I mean, that really is the end point of all these conspiracies.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install.
Copy that. Installing the module now.
Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable. TK-421. Cabling complete. No faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy.
The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated. receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. 15 charged in Medicaid schemes, potentially netted a whopping $90 million. One suspect is on the lam after jumping off a fourth-story balcony trying to get away. RF Kennedy Jr. was, of course, involved in this, as it did have to do with medical fraud, and he's the Health and Human Services Director. Let's go now to Secretary Kennedy on this historic and long-overdue bust of the fraudsters. Let's watch.
Today's arrests represent the largest autism fraud bust in American history. This was not a paperwork error. It was not a technical violation. This was organized threat, organized theft that exploited the most vulnerable children in America. Deceived families, stole taxpayer dollars meant to help children with autism access legitimate care and support. Investigators uncovered brazen schemes that billed taxpayers for non-existent services, fraudulent diagnoses, and fake care, while criminals enriched themselves at public expense. Every fraudulent autism diagnosis steals time, care, and resources from the children for whom this program was denied and who desperately need this care. Families with autistic children already face enormous challenges navigating therapies, specialists, and support systems. Fraud makes those barriers even steeper. America is facing a real autism crisis. Today, approximately one in every 31 children is diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. Medicaid finances a significant share of autism-related services nationwide, and spending has risen dramatically over the last decade, and a lot of that spending is because of fraud. When criminals exploit these programs, taxpayers lose billions, and vulnerable children lose their access to care. Healthcare fraud now costs the United States tens of billions of dollars every year. Some estimates place the broader cost of healthcare fraud and improper payments at $100 billion annually.
Breaking news. A Minnesota judge has just sentenced the mastermind behind the Feeding Our Future fraud scheme, Amy Bach. She just got more than 41 years in prison. The prosecution is asking for a 50-year sentence and her defense about 3 years. So that's somewhere in the middle that they got that, but closer to what obviously the prosecution wanted. The scheme involved theft of nearly $250 million in COVID funding. That money was meant to feed hungry children. State leaders claim they were unaware of the fraud. Here's what Amy Bach told our Alexis McAdams from jail back in January.
I honestly believe Keith Ellison and Governor Walz need to be held accountable. There needs to be an investigation done. If they weren't aware, that's concerning.
Of course they were aware. A fraud of this level does not take place without the complicity of the people in charge. And even if they weren't aware of it, that's not an excuse, because it's their job to be aware of it. They're the ones that we put in charge of the coffers. If the coffers get raided under their watch, that's their fault. It's ridiculous. So thank goodness she went away for, you know, a long time. And at least one person, you know, in the Trump administration, you know, carrying this out with the DOJ, understands what this is really all about. Let's go to clip 26 now.
All of our programs are built for a high trust society. We didn't set up these programs with layers and layers and layers of anti-fraud redundancy because we set it up for a people who are accustomed to be able to trust their neighbors, their families, and their friends to do the right thing, to be honest, and not to try to bilk their fellow Americans by raiding these programs. It's become clear that that social trust has been diminished and that people have taken advantage of these programs.
Yeah, because you invited a bunch of literal pirates, you idiots.
Do you think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't really work? I always ask people, they never know the answer. Even salesmen, I go, who's the best salesman? Who's the smartest salesman? Who are the most successful salesmen? The best salesman, a smart salesman, goes and finds what is the hottest, best product that's in demand. It sells itself. I promote freedom. I promote liberty. I promote what I think is good. My marketing strategy, if I like something, I think it's great, and I research it, I put it on you. You are insane if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, the very best doctor. You're insane if you don't get our methylene red. You're crazy if you don't do bovine colostrum. In fact, I realized the first few months I took that, I got busy. It ran out. I didn't get more. I just remember that, found some, was taking it last night. So good for your hair, your nails, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of the milk a cow puts out, and any mammal does. It is super nutrient, incredible. You're crazy if you don't take these products. They really work, and they fund the operation.
Welcome back, folks. War Room Live, the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com, alexjoneslive.com. Follow us on Rumble, of course. You can follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. Share those links around, please. People still are having trouble finding us. As difficult as that is to believe, it is true. All right, let's talk about what happened with the flotilla and Israel. We showed the video yesterday, showed it again today, of Ben-Gavir, Israeli high up, you know, member of the Israeli government, basically, you know, reveling in the abuse that these people are facing. And this whole story is sort of typical of Israel. First of all, the crime that these people committed, the flotilla, was trying to bring food to starving people, trying to bring awareness to the genocide that's been going on, as if we're not all perfectly aware of it. It's good to see people actually, you know, taking it seriously and doing, you know, the bare minimum, what an average, you know, God-fearing person should do, and trying to get, you know, attention to this matter. And while they were in international waters, they were approached by the IDF and, you know, Israeli forces. They were captured, they were arrested, they were brutalized and beaten. And of now, some of them at least have been returned to Europe, because these people were European. They were Italian. They've since been brought to Istanbul, as I understand it. And it's one of the things that you have to realize, and we've been telling you this forever, Israel doesn't care about Palestinians. They don't care about Arabs. They don't care about any of that. It's if you oppose them, you're the enemy. And you are a terrorist, and you are Amalek. And being Italian, being Christian, being European didn't save these people from Israel. Because they are European, because there are certain, you know, diplomatic realities, Israel, sure, they're not able to hold them indefinitely, torture them to death, sick dogs on them, you know, bury them in an unmarked grave and steal their organs like they do with the Palestinians, but they still treat them extremely badly, leave them with visible bruises, which again, you know, goes to show you Israelis aren't exactly trying to hide what they're doing. I mean, go to the images again. These are brutal bruises. I mean, these were inflicted deliberately. This wasn't, you know, this isn't, oh, the handcuffs are a little bit tight, or oh, you know, while, you know, in the scuffle, somebody got knocked over. These are bruises showing repeated blows to the back with some sort of weapon. This is evidence of torture. And Israel doesn't give a damn. You're in international waters doing something they don't like. They don't have the authority to do anything about it, but they will. They don't have the legal right to kidnap those people, but they did. And they beat them, bruised them, sent them back home, basically challenged anybody else to do something about it. Again, the crime these people committed was to be in a flotilla. They were in a float. They were in an unarmed, charitable peace flotilla. And Israel captures and beats them. And then you have, quote unquote, American talking heads, celebrities, influencers, whatever you want to call them, saying not good enough. They got off easy. Yeah, you people are psychos, complete and utter psychos. And we can get into what they're doing with Gaza as well, as they're building new walls and basically taking over a large chunk of what was previously Gaza territory. Do I have any videos of there's a video of an Italian guy talking about it. He basically says, you know, the instant they were in Israeli control, they were just savagely beaten. Maloney, the PM of Italy, has spoken out about this. Maloney attacks Israel. Don't you love how these things are phrased? This is from the Telegraph. Maloney attacks Israel. You mean Maloney defends her own citizens who were tortured by Israel? Okay. So Maloney attacks Israel over quote-unquote monstrous treatment of Gaza activists. Giorgia Maloney has demanded that Israel apologize for its monstrous treatment of activists who'd been detained after trying to deliver humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip. The Italian government summoned the Israeli ambassador in Rome to give an explanation of the footage that emerged, in which Itamar Ben-Gvir, Israel's far-right national security minister, taunted activists as they knelt on the floor with their wrists tied. About 430 protesters from more than 40 countries were filmed in a makeshift detention area in Israel's Ashdod airport, and on the deck of a ship. The minister waved a large Israeli flag and mockingly told the detainees, "Welcome to Israel. We are the masters of the house." Security personnel pushed a female activist to the ground after she shouted "Free Palestine" as Mr. Ben-Gvir walked past. In a second video, Mr. Ben-Gvir said the activists had approached Israel on the global Sumund flotilla, all full of pride, like big heroes. Look at them now. He said Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, should give him permission to imprison them. And probably kill him if he really had his way. The flotilla departed the coast of Turkey last week. Israeli forces began blocking boats around 165 miles from the Gaza coastline. According to the flotilla's website, Israel detained the activists, who were handcuffed and made to kneel with their heads touching the floor, after they were arrested in international waters and stopped from reaching Gaza. So again, what is there to say? What is there to say? Like, you know, you just can't imagine any other country even attempting this, let alone getting away with it. Like, other countries would at least pretend that they weren't doing this, or at least wait until they were in actual territorial waters before doing anything about it. But no, the Israelis go to international waters and say, "We're the master of this house. We own the ocean. And if you're in a boat and don't like us, I guess we get to arrest, humiliate, torture, and imprison you." Yeah. I mean, that, you know, the law is what happens, right? Do they have the legal right to do this? No. They did it anyway, though, didn't they? Is anybody going to stop them? Is anybody going to punish them? No. Well, then that means it's legal. That's how it works. Like, I don't know. It's too much. I mean, this has been going on for 3 years at this point, and a month in, the countries of Europe should have intervened. Why don't they? Because they are literally all, every single one of them, infiltrated by Israelis, by Jewish Israeli first operatives who are there entirely to serve Israel, in whatever position they can get in the government of Italy or Germany or wherever. So any attempt by any of these governments to do anything moral, to do anything justifiable when it comes to Israel, will be shut down internally by their own people who like Israel doing this sort of stuff. And just like Tucker Carlson said, killing children is not a part of civilization. Arresting peaceful protesters and brutalizing them and bragging about it, it's just absolutely at odds with absolutely everything we believe. And yet they want to present Israel as the height of Western civilization. Western civilization does not do this. Western civilization rejects this outright. European leaders are too far on the other spectrum. Let's be honest. I prefer this type of treatment if it was invaders trying to get into your country to rape your women. Okay, now you have an argument. But you can just imagine an America without this influence. You can just imagine a Europe without this influence. You know, Ben Gavir, I don't know if I have the video. I know our video machine is kind of messed up today, so I don't have a lot of the videos that I was hoping to go to with this. But I believe we should have one about Ben Gavir and sort of his history about who he is. But of course, he is outspoken in favor of and like supports immigration into Europe, right? This is who this guy is. The flotilla departed the coast of Turkey last week. Israeli forces began blocking. Yeah, but you know what's the funniest part? I've got videos where the Israeli, like Israeli officials or Israeli, you know, media personalities are mad at Ben Gavir and what he did in, you know, basically abusing European prisoners on camera who never did anything wrong and were part of a charity flotilla. But literally the only reason they're mad is because it's on video. I've not seen a single Israeli person, outlet, newspaper say this is wrong because it's wrong, that you shouldn't treat people this way, that, you know, these flotilla people didn't hurt anybody. Literally the only objection is everybody saw you. Everybody saw it. And that makes us look bad. And that's why it's bad. If you had done all of this quietly and not made videos about it, they'd be absolutely in favor of it. As you saw, people out there saying these people got off easy. So then they turn around and go, this is not consistent with Israeli values. No, it is. In fact, this is like the best face forward Israeli values. This is like a good example of Israeli values compared to the regular Israeli citizens I see advocating for these people to be imprisoned or worse. And even the outrage in Israel over this is not over the fact it was done. It's only over the fact that it makes Israel look bad for this to be done, which is a very important distinction. The flotilla departed the coast of Italy, Israeli forces began blocking boats around 165 miles from the Gaza coastline. Mr. Maloney and Antonio Tajani, Italy's foreign minister, said Rome demands an apology for the treatment of the activist. Guido Corsetto, the defense minister, told Israel, "We pride ourselves on having always treated your compatriots with respect, and we are not in the habit of arresting people in international waters, but rather of rescuing them if they need it. I don't think this kind of behavior is in the interest of Israel." Opposition MPs called for more diplomatic remonstrations. Ricardo Ricciardi, don't you love Italy? This, you know, it's like, thank God there's still a little bit of Europe. Maybe this is silly, but like, we should appreciate, we should really enjoy the fact that when I read a story about Italy, the names I'm reading are Maloney, Tajani, Corsetto, Riccardo Ricciardi. It's great. It's amazing. That's how it should be. I'm just enjoying it now because I know in 10 or 15 years, it'll be Foreign Minister Omar Hijabi, you know, of Italy says this. I didn't even pull in the video today, but the mayor of, I think it's Birmingham in the UK, but some new mayor, he literally can't speak English. And it's a video of him trying to speak English and he's wearing the like classic, like medieval garb that these mayors in the UK wear. And he's just like, these things are good for us. And it's like, I assume he can speak normal in his normal language. Maybe he's just retarded. I don't know. But obviously, the UK, you read their list of ministers and authorities. Yeah, Pakistani Muslim mayor of Birmingham, UK speaks broken English. He literally can't speak English. So I just thought I'd take a brief moment here to appreciate the fact that there are still people with Italian names running Italy. And how that's going away very rapidly and isn't going to be the case. really is sad. So, and this is why, you know, this is why. Because these damn Italians, these damn, you know, white Christian people sticking their nose in Israel's business like this. You know, this is why they all have to be replaced by Muslims, obviously. Obviously, you need to replace every single white person with a Muslim or an Indian because they know their place, all right? They know not to bite the hand that feeds them. They're smart enough and clever enough to know to go along with the evil because you benefit from it, not to stand up against it as a moral choice, even if it costs you. That's what stupid people do, right? Stupid people have beliefs. Stupid people support the innocent. Stupid people don't take advantage of a system that's vulnerable, right? It's not that we're moral and upright and recognize that a culture built on suspicion and hatred is an unsteady and dangerous force. And so we encourage ourselves and encourage each other to maintain a certain moral level of action, even if it's not necessary. Sorry, what was I talking about? Sorry, I got a little off track here. But seriously, I mean, you want to know why. You want to know why Italy and Germany and Greece, well, why all the European nations are being flooded. It's because they still do stuff like this. They still piss off the Israelis by demanding international law be followed, okay? Israel needs subservient third worlders in all of these positions so they can finally have the freedom of movement they deserve. So Ricardo Ricciardi of the Progressive Five Star Movement said, "We would like to see the country and the continent raise their heads, sanction Israel and sever all trade agreements with the most criminal government in the world today." Yvette Cooper, the foreign secretary, said she was truly appalled by the video. "We have demanded an explanation from the Israeli authorities and made clear their obligations to protect the rights of our citizens and those involved," she said. Jose Manuel Alvarez, of course, Spain is maybe the one country in Europe that's not going along with Israel, and they're paying the price for it. Spain's foreign minister condemned the treatment of the protesters as monstrous, disgraceful, and inhumane. Canada, Turkey, Ireland, and the Netherlands and France also condemned the treatment of the activist. So, I mean, think about that. Think about Israel capturing a boat, in international waters. They weren't trespassing. They weren't delivering, you know, forbidden goods to terrorists. They were a peace mission from 40 different countries. So think about the fact that Israel goes in there knowing full well they're about to piss off the governments of 40 countries, including basically every European country, and knowing they're not going to do anything. Israel, you know, it was really a courtesy that Israel let the people go. Do you think anything would have been done if they had simply disappeared the people? If those people had disappeared into one of the Palestinian prisons with all the other Palestinian detainees, never given a trial, tortured to death, do you think Europe would do anything about it then? How far do you think Israel could push it? Do you think they could have just blown the boat out of the water, live streamed it? Ben Gvir could have, been watching from the shore with binoculars and make a little video saying this is what happens when you try to mess with us. Do you think any of the 40 different countries whose citizens were tortured by Israel, like why won't they stand up for them? What could they do that would get Europe to turn on them? Is there anything? I can't think of anything they haven't done, right? I mean, can you even think of something that they could do that would actually make Europe turn on Israel? Committing genocide didn't do it. Latest numbers I've seen have something like 600,000 people died. They're announcing now they're walling in Gaza so it's even smaller. They're moving forward and taking over large chunks of that landmass, even though it's against the ceasefire agreement, against the international law, and it's the consequence of genocide. What could they do that would actually get Europe to respond? I don't think there's anything. I think they could have live streamed the one by one hanging of every single one of these flotilla members. And the worst thing that would have happened is exactly what we're seeing now. Minor outrage, bit of a kerfuffle, couple of strident demands that get ignored. And that's it. Because Israel has agents in all of these countries and they won't let it happen. Same thing in our country. Like I keep saying, if Donald Trump gave the order to arrest Benjamin Netanyahu, do you think that order would even be followed? I seriously doubt it. And if it was, how do you think the 20 to 30,000 IDF soldiers here in America would respond to that? It's called the fifth column, folks. There is a fifth column in every single country in the Western world, and it's Israel. And because of that fifth column, they have freedom of action and can violate any law, can be charged as an international criminal in the ICC, and the worst thing that happens is the ICC itself gets sanctioned by America. People in Denmark try to punish a rabbi for giving kids herpes and performing a banned circumcision ritual where they use their mouth to suck the blood out of the wound. Not today, Denmark, not if America has anything to say about it. America, the full force and weight of the American empire comes down to demand that they let go, that they let the rabbi go, right? Because how dare you try to enforce your own national law? America won't stand for it. I mean, sure, Israel has literally killed Americans throughout all of this. Israel is actually, like a lot of the Palestinians that have been killed were Palestinian Americans. American activists have been killed in really incredibly brutal ways. We don't do anything about it. We don't even mention it. We won't even reference it. But hey, some rabbi in Denmark gets in trouble for sucking a baby's dick, and America comes to the rescue. We come to help. You will not stand by while that justice is dispensed. We will intervene. Fifth column, folks. You knowingly caused harm to our state in this disgraceful. Oh, yeah, yeah. So these are the people complaining about Ben-Gvir. So Ben-Gvir posts the video, right? Again, this wasn't a hidden video. This wasn't a leaked video. Ben-Gvir himself posted on his own social media, welcome to Israel, with the video of them abusing the Europeans. In response to this, another Israeli politician says, you knowingly caused harm to our state in this disgraceful display, and not for the first time. You have undone tremendous professional and successful efforts made by so many people, from IDF soldiers to foreign ministry staff and many others. No, you are not the face of Israel. Was it bad what he did? Is what he did bad on the face of it? Or is it contingent? Remember yesterday I was talking, it's literally the divide is between subjectivity and objectivity. We as objective people understand that abusing charity workers is just bad. Abusing people who never intended you any harm, never had the ability to do any harm to you, and who were in international water and you can't even lay the charge of trespassing on them. Everybody knows that it's wrong to arrest those people, let alone humiliate and abuse them objectively. But what if nobody knows? But what if nobody finds out? Is it still wrong? But what if it's hidden? What if we could spin it to look good? Is it still wrong then? An objective view would say, yeah, it's still wrong. A subjective view says it depends. Okay? Another one. There are those in government who still haven't figured out how to behave towards supporters of terrorism. Israel's foreign minister is expected to understand that Israel stopped being a pushover. Anyone who comes to our territory to support terrorism and identify with Hamas will get slapped, and we won't turn the other cheek. Don't you like that, how he literally references the Jesus quote in there? Just to really emphasize, he's like, we are not Christian. We are not moral. We are demons. In case you forgot, we are demons.
I need funds to even operate this network and to finish the new studios. Plus, the information's vital, as you know. The bad guys want us off air. They tried to move heaven and earth to get us off air. I can't do this without you. So I'm asking folks that have gotten the products and love them to remind you to get them again at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to talk to the vast majority of you that love the show, share articles, videos, great, but you never go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. You're missing out not only on getting great products, but on standing up for yourself and your family in the future. It takes money, time, and energy to fight a war, and we are financing our war of truth, our information war against the globalists, and having great effects because of your support. So I want to salute those that have supported us, and I want to encourage those that have been on the fence and never bought any product. You're really missing out. Our ultramethylene blue, our bovine colostrum, our Irish sea moss, our Shilajit, not sexy names, but sexy effects, folks. All the products I sell you really, really work. That's why you just need to try them and see what it does. I start with methylene blue. 99% of people, more than that, I believe it's like 500 people and 3 people didn't feel it. It's all on medical record, what it does, skipping the oxidation process in the cells. Does it act as a stimulant, but feels like a stimulant, no letdown. Then we have methylene red in the tincture and the capsule. The capsules are even more concentrated. It goes with methylene blue in an excellent way, but on its own is incredible. Methylene red capsules, and so these are brand new in the store right now, up to 50% off. Methylene red capsules are designed to support clean daily energy, mental clarity, brain function, focus and performance, cellular energy support. This is for people who want to wake up sharper, think clear, and stay locked in throughout the day without relying on fake stimulant garbage. No crash, no junk, no watered down formula, just clean daily support for people who want to stay sharp, stay focused, and keep moving. And if you're a subscriber, you can get up to 50% off. You can cancel anytime, but it locks in to 50% off going forward. Cancel one click for free anytime. But 25% off for everybody else, introductory price. Then we got two big buy one, get one free specials that are only running until Monday. Buy one T3 iodine, the very best, purest iodine out there that is atomic and essential in the body. All the other iodines out there are bound to an element. You don't get full absorption. One of the biggest problems, just look this up yourself, over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. So many of the neurological disorders and diseases are caused by iodine deficiency. Even the so-called daily allowance of iodine is way lower. Nutritionists I've talked to and scientists say, so you need this, and it's the best iodine you're going to get. You can buy one bottle of T3 iodine and get another bottle absolutely free. You can also get Ultimate Life Force, the Spike Protein Detox, Cardiovascular Booster, great for children, women, men, old folks, you name it. It is incredible. The strongest, best detoxification formula out there, Ultimate Life Force. It's a big old bottle. I got one right here. Buy one, get one free right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support, because I can't do this without you. And I'll just be quite frank with you. We're bringing in right now enough money to pay the bills and for the legal, you know, the globalists always trying to shut us down. And that's not good to be on, you know, 10th of a tank. I need to be able to hire more crew, more reporters, more hosts, and scale up and finish the new studios. And we're going to do it, but it's up to you. You are the game changer here. I need you to take action right now at thealexjonesstore.com. These are incredible products. You're really missing out. And again, regardless, take the live feed at Real Alex Jones on X and at the network at AJ and Live on X and on Rumble. Here's the new address. Almost 700,000 followers in just 9 to 10 days. I want to thank everybody for doing that. Love Rumble. We're really going to partner with them. So many big announcements, new shows, more coming. Just get ready. Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
God hates the tears of little baby dicks. God hates the tears of little baby dicks. So if your kid's a male, even though he'll scream and yell, you gotta cut it off or the little soul will burn in hell.
Well, way back in the beginning, God was making men and women, and the fish of the sea and the birds of song.
I'm as confused as you are, folks. I don't know what's going on either. I don't know what this song is or where the crew found it. I think I hate it. God hates the tits. Oh, it's Trevor Moore. From Why These Kids You Know. Yeah, it's a weird thing, I'll tell you that right now. It's a very weird thing. It's one of those things that people just never really questioned. It's just what you do. As soon as you question it, you realize there's no reason, actually. It's actually a terrible thing. It's actually literally genital mutilation, and it leaves a permanent mark on your brain, actually. Crazy stuff. All right, we can move on. I could talk more about that topic. It's a weird practice, I gotta say. Anyway, we'll move on now. But look up the UK royal family. Look up how the UK royal family gets circumcised. That's an interesting wrinkle in the story, if you can put it that way. Welcome back, folks. That was a weird song. Totally threw me off. I forgot what I was going to do. Okay, let's go to clip number 9 here. This is the fascist history of Ben-Gavir. This is who Ben-Gavir is. He is the face of Israel. And by the way, I think the solution's anti-Semitism. I do. I think the solution to these problems is outspoken anti-Semitism, and I'll explain why. Because when Ben-Gavir does this, it's not supposed to reflect on the Jewish people. But what if it did? Would he be as likely to do it? What if we blamed all Jews for the actions of Israel? Would they be incentivized to not be completely insane now? I don't know, but I think anti-Semitism might just save the Jews. It just might. Because what the only solution to this really is the Jewish community themselves, you know, stepping up and getting Ben-Gavir to stop, or getting Netanyahu to stop, or getting Jonathan Greenblatt to stop, or getting Ben Shapiro to stop, or getting Rabbi Shmuley to stop. But because, you know, there's this unwillingness to blame all of them for the actions of one, which ostensibly is a good thing. You would think it's a good thing, but here I'm thinking we're in this situation because you've got Jews acting completely terribly and other Jews defending them. And then we're not supposed to, you know, think it represents all of them. What if it did, though? But what if it did? Would they not then be incentivized to, you know, pressure these people? Hey, you got to stop. This is making all of us look bad. Because it is making all of you look bad. So that's I'm kind of half joking, but I don't know. I think it's worth a shot. I mean, the way things are going now, it ain't looking good. So, you know, what are we going to do? Mess it up? What are we going to do? Make things worse? What if anti-Semitism is the solution? I don't know. I think it's worth a try. I think it's one of these creative solutions I've come up with that just might work. It's just crazy enough to work. So maybe we'll try that from now on. This is from Double Down News, the fascist history of Ben-Gavir. Clip number 9. Hello?
Ben-Gavir of Jewish power, previously convicted in Israel of incitement to racism and supporting a terrorist organization. Ben-Gavir lives in an illegal settlement in Hebron. Ben-Gavir's mentor, Rabbi Meir Kahani, established the Kach movement.
This is our country. It is not theirs. I want the Arabs out.
They must go.
He was committed to the use of specifically Jewish violence to effect such changes.
If I were the Minister of Defense, there wouldn't be one Arab left here.
Are you encouraging your people to go out on the streets and to attack Arabs as has happened in...
I call upon the Jews to do anything imaginable and anything possible which will encourage the Arabs to get out of this country.
Does that mean attacking?
Anything possible.
I want the out alive, and if not alive, dead.
Kahani's views were so extreme that the U.S. classified Kach as a terrorist organization in 1997. And Kahani was the inspiration for Baruch Goldstein, another settler from the Hebron settlements who murdered over 20 innocent Palestinians in cold blood.
Goldstein's portrait still hangs in Hebron on the wall of Itamar Ben-Gvir.
In 1993, Benjamin Netanyahu became leader of Likud. As Likud leader, Benjamin Netanyahu demonized the then Israeli Prime Minister and Labour Party leader Yitzhak Rabin for signing the Oslo Peace Accords. In 1995, Ben-Gvir, the Minister for National Security, responsible for the police today, appeared on television brandishing an ornament stolen from Rabin's car and proudly declared, "We got to his car, we'll get to him too."
אנחנו יכולים להגיע לרבין. כאשר ראש הממשלה עושה דברים כאלה חמורים, אני חושב שבהחלט אפשר לעשות מעשים חמורים נגדו.
A few weeks later, Rabin was assassinated. The death of Rabin led to the death of the peace process. In 1996, Benjamin Netanyahu became Israeli Prime Minister for the first time. And what he set about doing was the creation of a whole new generation of far-right extremist political leaders in Israel. Despite constant scandals, Netanyahu has been re-elected Prime Minister on 6 occasions. Given the importance of global conversations about peace, about racism, there has never been a time when independent media is more important. So watch Double Down News and support Double Down News on Patreon.
There you go. Little history lesson for you about Ben-Gvir. The Baruch Goldstein is one of these stories where, yeah, the guy killed, you know, 20 Palestinians, and they celebrate this guy every year. Ben-Gvir's got a picture hanging up, and when he's asked what he would tell his son about the man in the picture, he'd say he's a hero. He's a righteous man. He's a mass murderer, murdered innocent people. And to Ben-Gvir, that makes him righteous. This guy's the strongest Jew in the state of Israel and the terrorist. Hey, we'll take your word for it, Shmuley. So again, you know, this is just who we're dealing with. And, you know, at the end of that segment, the guy's like, you know, as much as we talk about peace and all this sort of stuff, just understand they don't care. They don't care. They don't want peace. They're not embarrassed by this. They're not shamed by this. You know, they didn't try to cover it up. They're doing this on purpose. It's a psychological operation. Ben-Gvir's policy goal is going to extremes. Even Europe's far right won't touch. We got to come up with a new term for the Israeli far right, because they're not even in the same universe. The gulf of difference between American right wingers that are just like, stop destroying my country, I want to be able to afford a house, and they're just like extreme right winger. Meanwhile, extreme right wingers in Israel are just like, we've got to kill all of the Arabs, kill them all, kill the babies. It's like, they're not both right wing, right? One of them is a terrorist Zionist, and the other one is just a normal human being. Was normal for a long time. But I really hate the way it's like, but that's the Israeli right wing. It's like, kinda. The Israeli right wing is also the ones who will open up the border in Europe to Muslims. Like, they, anyway. It's not right or left. It's Israel versus everybody. That is the only division here. We're going to move on. We'll get to American politics here, since it ain't going well. But we could continue with Israel if we wanted. But no, we'll move on. But we could, we will. Let's continue for a little bit. Let's go to clip 12 here. As Israel appears to be building a new wall inside Gaza, satellite images show they are in fact annexing a large portion of the Gaza Strip. And once again, total abject violation of all of the agreements that they've signed with Donald Trump in America. Supposed to be ceasefire in Gaza. There's never been a ceasefire. They're still killing dozens of people a day on average, or at least more than normally die. They're still obviously blocking humanitarian aid, and they're taking it over, just like was always the intention. And just remember, October 7th was a total, absolute false flag. They allowed it to happen because they wanted this. It was Israeli gunships. It was Israeli helicopters that murdered people in Nova. It's not even a question. We literally have the video of it. So Israel kills its own people, uses that as an excuse to wage war in Gaza. And remember, in that video that we just saw, you know, Ben-Gvir was a part of this assassination plot, apparently, to kill, you know, an Israeli prime minister. It, you know, it's not like, you know, they don't have enemies within as well. But Ben-Gvir, Netanyahu, Smotrich, like, these are the most extreme religious fanatic terrorists, and they're the ones in charge of Israel right now, and they have the backing of the Israeli people. And it wasn't a bunch of Likud politicians that were the one banging on the prison demanding that the guards be allowed to rape the prisoners, right? That was just your average Israeli citizen. It's a cooperation. The Israeli citizens act outrageous. They commit insane crimes, and then the politicians cover it up for them. And then their agents in our countries prevent any international outrage from reaching the point of action. It's a very convenient setup they have. So let's go ahead and go to clip 12 here. This is the flagrant violation of the Gaza agreement as they are annexing the portion they're supposed to leave alone. Let's watch.
Israel appears to be building a new wall in Gaza. Satellite images analyzed by ABC News show deep trenches being dug along the yellow line, which was meant to be the temporary division established at the ceasefire in January between Hamas-controlled Gaza and IDF forces. Israel has pushed the line westward over the last few months and says it now controls 60% of the strip. Under the terms of the ceasefire, Hamas was meant to disarm and the IDF withdraw, but neither has happened. And now 2.1 million Palestinians live in an area less than half the size of what it was before the October 7th attack. With infrastructure demolished, hundreds of thousands are still living in tents and disease is spreading. ABC News has counted 9 military outposts along the line, which has become a kill zone for Palestinians over the last few months. The UN says more than 200 people, including dozens of women and children, have been killed close to it. Israel says IDF troops are deployed in accordance with the ceasefire agreement. They say there are no IDF military posts beyond the yellow line, and they're working to visibly mark the location of the line to prevent harm to civilians.
So there you go. Again, who's going to stop them? Who's going to stop them? We have the ability to stop them, but we won't. So who else? Let's go now to clip number 13. This was an Israeli settler attack yesterday on the Palestinians in the West Bank. We can go ahead and go to 13 now. There's a Palestinian standing on his own property, and there's the gang of settlers with the bats savagely beating him. In January 2026 alone, more than 200 attacks by Israeli settler militias against Palestinians were documented in the South Hebron Hills. And it's only increased since then. I mean, all throughout February and April, they increased even more. So 200 in January, probably at least 300 in the following months. And of course, the settlers know that they can attack with total fearlessness, because if there's any response, any attempt to defend themselves, then the IDF rolls in. And, or the Israeli police show up at the door the next day to haul you away and throw you in prison because the settlers claim that you attacked them. So. This is who we're defending to the destruction of our country. And importantly, the destruction of the Republican Party first and foremost and above everything. Obviously, the two biggest negatives of Trump's current administration are Epstein and the Iran war, both directly attributable to Israeli influence here in America. And the result of this has been an absolute collapse in the support for Donald Trump and the Republican Party, including the one demographic that he could always count on, white, no college degree Americans. He now has a negative approval rating at 46%, with the disapproval rating at 54% for white Americans with no college degree. Which was the base of his base, right? And there's an interesting development here, because today, Reuters.com has the story. Democrats release autopsy of 2024 election loss, but they reject the findings. They're rejecting the findings of their own investigation. Bowing to pressure from within its ranks, the Democrat National Committee released on Thursday a long-withheld autopsy of Kamala Harris's loss to Donald Trump in the 2024 presidential race, only to quickly disavow it. The report found the Democrats have ceded ground to Trump's Republicans through underfunding of state parties and, quote, a persistent inability or unwillingness to listen to all voters. Huh. That's just the Democrats, though, right? It's not like that's a problem the Republicans could also have. A persistent inability or unwillingness to listen to your voters. Gee, did you try calling them all anti-Semitic panicans? Have you tried doing that? Did that work? In statements accompanying the release, DNC Chairman Ken Martin said it does not meet my standards and won't meet your standards, but he said it was being published to restore trust in the party. The 192-page document includes a disclaimer on the top of every page stating that it reflects the views of the author, not the DNC. So it's just a little bit ironic, I find, that the Democrats release a report that's like, yeah, we lost 2024 badly because we refused to listen to the voters and basically just told them that they have to vote for us. You think the Republicans could get that message? Or are we going to have to go through an absolute bloodbath in 2026 and 2028 and wait until like 2030 before the report comes out that's like, yeah, you probably should have listened to your voters, actually. Actually, if you want to get voted on, the thing to do is to represent your voters. Thanks. Oh, okay. Thank you for that. So I just find it a little bit ironic that the Democrats lost 2024 for the exact reason that the Republicans are going to lose 2028. And we know it here early 2026, but nothing's being done to fix it because the people that are driving the Republican Party off a cliff are all Democrats. They're Israeli first Democrats. So why would they care if the Republican Party gets destroyed? They're getting what they want. How Trump's revenge tour against Republicans could cost the party in November. This is from Reuters. Trump purges dissenters, risking alienation of moderates and independents. Trump's actions could limit Republican lawmakers' freedom to break ranks before the midterms. Cassidy's post-defeat vote shows risk that ousted Republicans will oppose Trump's priorities. 16 months into a second presidency, Donald Trump may be as unpopular as he's ever been among the American electorate, but his grip on his core base of MAGA voters remains unshaken. I think that's false, but okay. The power was on full display over the last 2 weeks as Trump ousted a string of fellow Republicans he considered apostates for not showing him enough personal fealty. The president's revenge tour continued on Tuesday when a handpicked loyalist defeated U.S. Representative Thomas Massie, a frequent critic, in a Kentucky nomination contest. But Trump's success in purging the party of dissenters could also hurt its chances of retaining control in Congress in November midterm elections, some Republican strategists said. Trump's actions appear to be aimed at mobilizing his most diehard supporters rather than reaching out to independent or moderate Republican voters who will likely play a determinative role in the highly competitive races. As Republican candidates in those contests may feel pressure to tether themselves even more closely to Trump to avoid becoming the latest targets of his ire, even though it may cost them voters outside the Make America Great Again base. Anytime the party in power, the midterm elections face headwinds, the president should be looking to grow his coalition, said Jeff Grappone, a former advisor to several Republican senators. With the Iran war driving energy costs higher, Trump's approval rating was at 35. And in a Reuters poll that closed on Monday, reflecting growing concern about inflation and the cost of living. Yeah, but Trump responded to that by saying he doesn't care. We got a response from Trump about the inflation and the economic woes. It's that he literally doesn't ever think about it and doesn't care and thinks it's peanuts and says it's worth it and to shut up. So, you know, if you're concerned about the economy, just know Donald Trump does not care. Even a little bit. He's not even pretending to. But it's not just American, you know, the Republican Party that is suffering because of Donald Trump's endless subservient suicidal retardation in the name of Israel. Inside the unraveling of U.S. diplomacy under Trump, Donald Trump's threats, personal envoys, and hollowed out U.S. embassies are reshaping Washington's presence in the world. Allies from Europe to Asia are rewriting the rules of engagement, ignoring the president's rhetoric and forging new diplomatic channels to manage a U.S. foreign policy driven increasingly by personalities, not institutions. And of course, you know, it doesn't even really get into the real fact of the matter, which is that, you know, we keep killing people we're supposed to be negotiating with and, you know, just abusing our allies endlessly for no particular reason other than Israel demands it. The Trump administration rejects the notion of a breakdown, saying the changes have strengthened U.S. diplomacy and streamlined decision making. The president has the right to determine who represents the American people and interest around the world, said Tommy Pigott, a State Department spokesman. The account of America's diplomatic upheaval is based on interviews with more than 50 senior diplomats, White House officials, and recently retired ambassadors, as well as dozens of foreign officials, diplomats, and lawmakers across Europe and Asia. As America's career diplomats are fired or sidelined, its allies are changing how they deal with Washington. Rather than rely on embassies or formal channels, foreign governments say they're rewiring their diplomacy around a small circle of people with direct access to the president, leaving many dependent on back channels to manage a superpower whose signals have grown erratic. So, yes, in other words, they got to go to Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff if they want to get anything done. Can't go through the normal channels because Trump apparently completely ignores them, just like he does with our intelligence service, in favor of whoever his Israeli first diplomats are. And this is very troubling because Russia, at least, seems motivated and incentivized to sort of overcome this diplomatic confusion, to cut through the diplomatic static noise and send a very clear message, because the Trump administration seems like complete petulant babies is actually the reality. The fact is that, like, nothing gets done. No agreement can be made. You know, it really is Trump's personality that's been, you know, ceded to everybody. Where it's just like, yeah, they can lie with impunity. They can say one thing and then do another. And that's just smart, you know, smart business. That's deal making, you know, just like the great deal he made in China to bring in 500,000 Chinese students in exchange for forcing China to sell TikTok to Israel, you know, deal making. So 500,000 American kids will have their spots at universities taken by our greatest geopolitical rival. And then I'm sure many of them will get jobs here in America that would have gone to American students. So sure, they're disadvantaging directly at least 500,000 graduates every single year. But in exchange, Israel gets to censor our social media. So deal making, you know, like Trump does, the deals he makes. So apparently he's accruing this all to himself. And in order to cut through the fog, Russia is holding gigantic nuclear drills. Drills are intended to send a signal, says Russia, as they hold massive nuclear drills on land, sea, and air alongside Belarus. Russian President Vladimir Putin discussed the maneuvers in a video call with his Belarusian counterpart Lukashenko. Quote, the use of nuclear weapons is an extreme exceptional measure for ensuring the national security of our state. Lukashenko earlier inspected Russian short-range nuclear-capable Iskander ballistic missiles at a military unit involved in the drills and declared, I dreamed about this machine a long time ago. The three-day drills that began on Tuesday come amid a surge in Ukrainian drone strikes, including on Moscow suburbs, that killed three people and damaged several buildings. So Ukraine is refusing to go quietly, refusing to allow the war to end, and Russia is now holding giant military drills with nuclear weapons, going, we're sending you a signal, America. Are you getting it? Do you understand yet? We will use nuclear weapons. Don't mess with us.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I'm going to thank all you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the t-shirts that are limited edition there. A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern, updated World War II trench knife with the blacked out, murdered out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, five different limited edition laser engraved designs. They're all about to sell out, only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the Shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it. And you can cancel any time. There's no commitment. Just in your profile, you pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel any time. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Mr. Speaker, I came here to make sure our republic doesn't die by unanimous consent in an empty chamber, and I request a recorded vote.
Something rotten exploded in my old Kentucky home's 4th District, and the stench of foreign cash and rigged turnout proves Thomas Massey didn't lose. He was the subject of a foreign hostile takeover.
And this is an amazing fight because he's got $0 from AIPAC, and his opponent who refuses to debate him or literally show up on the campaign trail has got $9 billion from AIPAC and much more from that group. And the question is, can oligarchs buy an election with lies and no candidate?
He was a DEI coach to corporations to help them understand how to implement gender neutral language, using their pronouns, how to better have a gender fluid conversation style, how to make sure that they change their boards of directors. That's where he's been for the last 5 years. So tell me about your dairy farmer boy from Kentucky. I got nothing for it.
The constitutionalist with a 99% freedom index score who co-sponsored the Epstein Files Transparency Act, grilled the DOJ on blackmail networks, and dared say no to blank check Israel aid, saw his raw votes jump 19% with younger Americans flooding to him.
And we know why young people are, and, you know, middle-aged people are against the next war. Because we'd be the ones fighting it. They're trying to bring back the draft. Screw that. We're not going to fight some other country's wars, are we? No.
Yet, low-profile, basement-dwelling debate MIA Navy SEAL Ed Gowron magically surged ahead by 10,280 votes, almost exactly matching his 10,854 mail-in haul. Turnout actually doubled from 2024 in the sleepy off-year primary. Opposition votes exploded 357%. The energy and crowd difference between the Massey concession and Gowron's acceptance was miles apart.
Massey, 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 Massey.
This was the 2020 mail-in playbook reloaded. Outraged Americans have followed the money straight to the culprits. Miriam Adelson and two other Jewish billionaires backed by AIPAC's dark money machine that dumped tens of millions into Gowron's war chest, making this the most expensive House primary in U.S. history to purge Massey for exposing their game. Israel outlets openly called it the most consequential Republican primary for Israel. Trump sent Pete Hegseth to campaign against him. Another first for the United States.
President Trump does not need more people in Washington who are trying to make a point, especially from his own party. He needs people willing to help him win, to vote with him when it matters the most.
America first. Thomas Massey becomes the face of that politically.
This civil war in the party has gotten so out of hand. They sent the Secretary of War to my district today to campaign against me. I don't think that's ever been done.
It's also illegal.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure, but it's insane. Like, we're in the middle of a war. Why should the Secretary of War come to Kentucky? I say it's because I'm harder to beat than Iran, and I don't even have a nuclear weapon.
The president trashed him publicly.
He was a
bad guy. He deserves so much.
And boomer voters 65 and older, glued to Fox regime media and the last remnants of our Social Security money, delivered the margin while every younger demographic rejected the forever war grift. Probability that this was stolen by those three billionaires and their lobby? In my opinion, near 100%. They didn't need to stuff every ballot when coordinated cash, mail-ins, and demographic targeting do the job. Foreign lobbies now openly auction congressional seats while taxpayers bleed for endless wars and America First is flushed down a golden toilet. The system just proved it's captured. No more illusions. Demand the SAVE Act. Demand paper audits. Enforce the 1938 Foreign Agents Registration Act.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to thealexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster, and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just CMOS and Shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it, and get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live, and I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for your calls this last hour. The number to dial is a new one. It's 512-266-0642. We are now taking your calls here on War Room Live, 512-266-0642. We'll go to those just as soon as they come rolling in. That's 512-266-0642. Now taking your calls. It is 5:06 p.m. Central Time here on May 21st, 2026. I got a couple of good videos to show you, like good in the sense of positive. And look, I know people have conflicting opinions on Jake Lang. I have conflicting opinions on Jake Lang. But he gave a speech in Texas about to a city council meeting that I think was absolutely incredible, extremely powerful, and the exact type of energy that we now need. Here is Jake Lang giving a speech about the invasion of Texas. Let's watch.
Texcoistan, what are you guys doing here? Inviting the enemy to eat at the table with you and they steal all your food. Your children will grow up without a place to be in because every single one of their jobs, and you saw the children that were brought up on this stage, not one of them is a heritage American. Not one of them was a Texan. Your replacement is here, Americans, and it is coming faster and faster. The Hindus and the Muslims are teaming up to take over Texas. This is not Muslims versus Hindus here. They are here to eradicate the Christians. They are here to drive us out of our homelands. You have to understand, these people do not want to assimilate. These people have not come here to become Americans. They have come here to drag their third world culture over to our country. If Jainism, if Hinduism is so great, why are their countries holes. They are bringing this ideology here to turn the third world is not a place. It is a people. It is an ideology. It is a way of life. It is a culture. And when they bring their people, their way of life, their ideology and their culture over to America, do you think it's going to remain American? Have you ever looked across the plains of Texas and said, I need 5 million Jeeps here right now to in the street. No one ever has. No one has ever looked across and said, the football fields, the games,
excuse
all
me,
of
sir.
The amazing cowboy.
Me, you'll watch
I have the
language.
First Amendment right, and I can curse if I want to.
Watch language.
I can talk if I want to.
Oh,
no one has ever looked across the plains of Texas and the football games and all the amazing cowboy culture and the raw American spirit here and said, let's replace this with Muslims. Let's replace this with Hindus. Texas should remain for Texans. Have you lost your mind selling your children's future? Did you see the Boys and Girls Club of America standing on this stage? Is it even recognizable to what you would have seen the Boy Scouts 15 or 20 years ago? It is a replacement. It is not right. Just because it's happening to white people does not make it okay. You guys are complicit. This is the jellyfish generation, half boomer, half Gen X. You don't care about my children's children. You are selling out this country to people who do not want to live near you. They want to build their own separate, segregated zones where they practice their religion, their food, their way of dress, their language. They don't care about white culture. They don't care about American culture. They don't like you. They will replace you. Their culture in both Muslim and Hindu is pedophilia. And I have the child marriage in Mensa Maruti, which is one of their religious texts. It suggests a 30-year-old man marry a 12-year-old woman or a 24-year-old man is perfect for an 8-year-old girl. What the fuck is wrong with you inviting these people into our country? This is
incredibly powerful. What is there to say other than... we need more of that. We need a hell of a lot more than that, of that exact thing. And I know some people are like, but isn't Jake Lang Jewish? It's like, yeah, I guess. Where's the white Christian guys giving the speech? I'd play that video too. I don't care who it is making the speech, getting the idea across. I'm in favor of it. Now, if you say this is just a plot to, cause a culture clash. Okay. I don't, what's the problem? There is a culture clash. This is a major problem. You want to see a graduation video of UT Dallas? Clip 15 here. This is the 2026 UT Dallas graduation walkout. Let's watch. It's literally all Indian people. It's literally all Indian people. I mean, there are entire cities in Texas that are just all Indian now. In 20 years, they went from like 75-80% white to like 20% white because Indians and Muslims moved in. We're being replaced. It's a real threat. And he's exactly right. They do not have any interest whatsoever in becoming American. They don't even pretend to. So why would we allow this? Why are we allowing this? Nobody else would allow this. And it's literally because we've been brainwashed into thinking that it's somehow rude or bad to stand up for ourselves. It's not. It's actually normal. It's actually what everybody else does. It's why they're able to screw us over like this. And I got other videos to go to as well. Let's go to, I think this is clip 24 here. Because this is, let me make sure. That's a different one that I do want to get to here in just a second. See, some of the videos that I brought in didn't get, transferred over. But you see it a lot. You'll see videos of people talking about places they like. You'll even see it in your own life. I've had it in my life where white people are still afraid to notice things like race. And like this woman in particular is talking about her trip to the beach when there happened to be a teen takeover event. And she's just like, what is going on? Like, what is this? Why can we not just go to the beach and have a good time? If we can pull that video in, it's really good because she's trying real hard not to, point out what the obvious difference is between when she did her senior skip day at the beach 20 years ago and the kids who are there now. They're different kids. It's not the same people. It's not the same culture. It's not the same attitudes. And like, that's fine, except that our culture is being destroyed. If you want to have your culture over there, it's fine, but our culture has to be preserved and maintained and not allowed to be taken over because, you know, and the example I always use is like Christmas Eve that, you know, Mexican people shoot off fireworks, and it's all kind of that type of attitude. It's like, well, the black culture is like a lot more rambunctious, a lot wilder. You get these teen takeovers, you get fights and insanity and chaos, and like, that's what they like, that's what they love, that's what they do. It's, you know, there's a bunch of videos about this over this last week, because it's like a national problem now. It's like beaches in Rhode Island and North Carolina and New Jersey. New Jersey had to send out police with riot shields to stop the spring break, you know, beach takeover. And these videos, you see them posted, and the thing, you know, posted under it is like, there was one, I think it was in Rochester, and it was like, Rochester Fair never fails to win or whatever, you know, and it's like a video of like a bunch of people brawling and fighting each other and pulling each other's hair. And the, you know, the subtitle of the post is like, another great day. It's like, it never fails to, you know, be fun. It's like, it's like chaos and outrage. There's nothing fun about that. But if you think that's fun, great. You know, more power to you. Just don't come to our beach, right? We don't have fun that way over here. And there's nothing wrong about insisting that you be provided with the space to indulge in your culture and they be provided the space to indulge in their culture. But when their culture does not permit for other cultures to exist, what are you supposed to do? That's why I bring up the fireworks thing. It's like, it's not like I can impose silence upon them. I can't impose peace on them. I can be quiet. I can be peaceful. But if they're shooting off fireworks, whose culture do you think wins? Whose culture overpowers the other when one is fireworks and the other is quietly reading by the fireside, right? One of them gets crowded out unless you defend it. Representative Nancy Mace proposes a constitutional amendment to ban foreign-born citizens from Congress. How is this not a thing already? How do we not already have this on the books? Representative Nancy Mace has proposed a constitutional amendment that would prohibit foreign-born U.S. citizens from serving in Congress, becoming federal judges, or holding Senate-confirmed positions. In a post on X, Mace called the proposed joint resolution long overdue. But here's the problem. It's so long overdue that there's a sizable portion of people in Congress that aren't American citizens. They're probably not going to vote for this, are they? It's sort of one of these problems that is hard to solve because you're supposed to pass a law to stop illegal immigrants, or not illegal immigrants, but from foreign-born Americans from being in Congress, but there already are foreign-born Americans in Congress that don't want to get kicked out, so they're going to vote against it. So how do you reclaim sovereignty when you've already ceded the decision-making power to non-Americans? It's not really possible, is it? You kind of have to just throw the system out and create a new one because it's already been infiltrated and subverted to the point that you can't pass this bill. You can't pass this law. And it's only going to get worse. So there's that. H-1B visa abuses still continue to be just outrageous and flagrant and right in your face. Cisco's Indian president, G2 Patel, fired 4,000 Americans while 4,000 American families process Cisco's layoffs. G2 Patel is doubling down on 1,570 new Indian H-1B hires. Cisco rakes in billions from American taxpayers only to fire 4,000 hardworking Americans and then replace half of them with Indians. And of course, the Indian CEO carries that off. They're not shy about it. And it works. Intel is no longer the company of its founders, Robert Noyce and Gordon Moore, but of Malaysian-born Lip-Bu Tan, its CEO since March 2025. Microsoft is led by Satya Nadella, Alphabet Inc. by Sundar Pichai, Adobe by Shantanu Narayan, IBM by Krishna, YouTube by Mohan. Fisher King responds to this. Good read on H-1B visa abuses. Anyone skeptical that big tech works hard to keep wages down, recall that Apple, Google, Intel, and others were hit with an antitrust suit back in 2010 focused on agreements not to poach workers. They didn't want bidding wars for their employees, which drive up wages. The antitrust actions were settled for big money in 2014, and since then, the use of H-1B visas has gone up quite a lot, perhaps partly in response to big tech having to give up on collusion as a wage-reducing mechanism that drives up their share prices. Since many of these tech jobs pay six figures, the savings quickly add up. Borges estimates that companies on average save nearly $100,000 per worker over 6 years by hiring an H-1B worker rather than an American. The arrangement redistributes wealth from those who compete with immigrants to those who use immigrants. Borges wrote in 2016 that in turn helps account for the soaring stock prices of big tech since the 2008 financial crash. And I would just say, think about how little of savings that really is. I mean, Google prints money. I looked it up at one point. They make billions of dollars a day, like insane amounts of money. And they will destroy an American's life, bring in an Indian, so that they can save $100,000 over 6 years. It's like, it's peanuts. Compared to what they rake in, compared to what they make, compared to their like profit margins, they could easily afford to pay American wages. Easily. It would be a better company if they did. But they're willing to sacrifice top-tier American talent for Indian fraudsters, which we've shown the numbers. The vast majority of Indians who get H-1B visas or come over on it, it's all fraud. Their diplomas are fraudulent. They pay for them in diploma mills. I mean, it is a gigantic pipeline of fraud from the very beginning to the very end. And yet they're willing to bring those people in and replace you to save less than $25,000 a year. Save $20,000 a year, more or less. And they're willing to do that, save that pocket change when they make literally billions of dollars every single day. So it's not about the money. It might be a convenient excuse and maybe you can drive the stock prices up. But again, that's all fraudulent anyway, because who would invest in a company, you know, filled with Indian scab workers, globally sourced Indian scab workers, over a bunch of well-paid Americans who can be relied upon, who have families and histories here? It's just hatred of America. That's the only thing that motivates it. And, you know, they love Indians because the higher class Indian, the higher caste Indians, are technically ethnic, but basically act like white people. So it's very convenient, but also just the ethnic nepotism is really off the charts with the Indian community. They're not shy about it. They really just think we're idiots for letting them do it. So we deserve it, I guess. They have a point. Out to your calls now. Who's been on the longest? Let's go to Jeff in Pennsylvania. He's on about Minnesota fraud on line three. We'll go to Jeff here in just a second. Make sure I know. Okay, all right, hold on. It's a new phone system. Yeah, I think he was just on. Let's go to Jeff in Pennsylvania now. All right, Jeff, what's up? All right, you're on the air.
How's it going, Harrison?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good.
I have two questions, really, about this Minnesota fraud fraud situation. First one is, today they talked about, you know, it's really great that they indicted 15 of these fraudsters, and that's all fine and well. But my first question is, they talked about possibly like in this instance here, this first tranche, $90 million of fraud that was possibly perpetrated by these people. My first question is, where is the money?
Question.
Where did the money go? Did they send it all back to Somalia? Did they spend it? Did they, you know? Where did the money go? I mean, it's all fine and well that we're indicting these people, but where's our money? Where's the Minnesota taxpayers' dollars? And they're talking about billions of dollars, and it's all fine and well, but where did it go?
It's a great question. That's a great question. I don't know. Let me find the article, and I'll see if they say that. Because, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it did get sent to Somalia. I mean, it depends on, you know, which fraud you're talking about, but you know, certainly they were funding the Al-Shabaab terrorist group with some of these funds. But yeah, I don't know. To their houses, I guess. You know, they all have fancy houses and cars. That's a great question. Who knows where this money went? I doubt we're ever going to get any of it back. So, and even if we did, probably just go back into the coffers of the government and they'd give it out to some other scam artist they haven't gotten around to indicting quite yet. That's a good question. I'll look, let me find the article here. I put it in my discard stack. So let me find it and I'll see if I can get an answer for you. What was your other question?
Question had to do with who's doing, I can't believe that a bunch of Somali pirates have the mental wherewithal to do these things. I mean, I couldn't for the life of me figure out how to start a crooked Medicare, Medicaid program. You know, and I'm a pretty smart guy, but I wouldn't even know where to start. How do these people from a third, less than third world country come over here? Admittedly, they have no economy. They have literally they're just a bunch of pirates. They set up a system all by themselves to steal billions and billions and billions of dollars from the Minnesota taxpayers. I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
Well, there's two things to it, because I completely agree, and I actually meant to bring this point up earlier. For one, they're literally trained how to do this, right? I've seen, you know, accounts of people in the Congo. Literally one day, some UN tent pops up in their village, and they're going, okay, here's what you do, here's what you say. I mean, in the UK, they just got busted. The people who were actually, you know, in charge of the immigration program, coaching the immigrants to say that they're gay so that they don't get deported. So, I mean, you know, they didn't come up with that themselves. They don't know what the laws here are, or, you know, what the loopholes are. They're literally informed on how to do that by people who are paid by our government. Our government goes out and says, you need to say this so you get in. You need to say this so you get asylum. You need to say this so you can sign up for welfare. And then they've got people in the local governments. I mean, this is the thing. It is impossible for this to happen without the local government's complicity. It's too much money. There's no way this happened without their awareness. And they probably got a cut off the top, or at least, as we know, Keith Ellison basically got an agreement, a handshake agreement with the Somali community. All, you know, stop the investigations into the fraud, and in exchange, get your people to vote for me. I mean, we have that on audio. It was recorded and leaked, and we've played it several times on the show. So they didn't come up with this themselves. They did. They were complicit. But the other thing is, like the video that we showed of the DOJ guy going, these programs were set up for a high trust society. We didn't have all these fraud controls. And if you remember when Ilhan Omar was asked about it, she said, well, it's y'all's fault for letting it happen, basically, for not having enough guardrails, I think was her exact term. So, you know, whether it was deliberately set up this way or not, basically there was no necessity to, like, prove you actually needed the help. You could just sign up and, you know, be approved because you had a doctor who said your kid had autism, even when they didn't. I mean, you just check the right boxes and you get free money. And in a way, it is kind of our fault for setting it up like that. Obviously, we didn't intend for a bunch of scam artists to come in and, you know, bankrupt the program. Because really what should happen now is the program, all of these programs should end. All of them. So what happens when the programs end? Obviously, people that really do need help, people that really do have autistic kids that they're struggling with, that they need help to manage their life and the care the kid needs, they're going to be screwed over. They're not going to get the help they need because these people scammed all the money. That's the type of second order thinking that Somalis with an average IQ in the double digits literally can't wrap their mind around. But the other thing you have to understand, and we've explained this, and I've not been able to find the video. If anybody listening to my voice has this video, I swear, I so regret not downloading it when I had it. But it was a video of a guy going around the Somali mall in Minnesota, and it was a white guy, and he's filming, and he's walking around, and he's going, this is crazy. These people just leave their stores open. There are stores that you go in, it's like, you know, clothes and t-shirts and hats and whatever else, and the door's just wide open and there's nobody manning the store. And he's walking around going, this is such a high trust society, they don't even lock their, you know, they don't even man their stores in the mall, and yet nobody steals anything. So understand that within the Somali community, they have extremely high trust. They don't steal from one another. They don't screw one another over. This is a group of people scamming another group of people. And the scamming group of people is all in on it. They know what they're doing. But it's not just because they're genetically incapable of being trustworthy or, you know, whatever else. It's it's a deliberate attack from one group against another. So again, if it was just these people are so, they're just genetically pirates, and so they're just stealing from everybody they can, that would be one thing. But they don't steal from each other, they steal from us. It's worth knowing. We'll be right back. When Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't need, you know, I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, you know, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, no, I just did it. And they're like, you know, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? And you're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body. But that's why we sell the supplements that we do. Pretty much everybody takes them. Who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store? Or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo-woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them, and so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store, and you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. If you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, that's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you've got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything. But I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, you know, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. Testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. But that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence. Because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body as it is to all of our bodies by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You did it, boomers. Congratulations. You had one job. You had one job, boomers. It was to simply preserve the life you were handed, simply not willingly give it away to everybody who hates us. You couldn't handle it, could you? Couldn't handle just being basically responsible with the incredible wealth you were handed the moment you were born. You had to give it all away as punishment for your children. I don't know why. And look, I got an email from somebody yesterday going, hey, I'm a boomer and I'm not like those other boomers. It's like the fact you're saying that kind of makes you just like the other boomers. I don't know what it is. I don't know why boomers can't self-reflect. But I'm a millennial. Do you know how I react when people insult millennials? I agree with them because I understand that I'm an outlier and the vast majority of my generational cohort are scum, obviously. Boomers, like, can't realize. I don't know why. I don't know why. I talk about boomers as a group, and I get individual boomers going, but I'm not like that. And it's like, yeah, I know, but have you looked around? Do you know anybody else your age? What are they like? Oh, they're all awful? Yeah, so you see where I'm coming from here. It's totally crazy. It absolutely is. And hey, folks, if you're struggling to deal with this insanity, if you're finding that your physical being is incapable of withstanding the chaos and misery and stress of the modern world, have I got a product for you folks. It's called Methylene Red, and we have new Methylene Red capsules available now at thealexjonesstore.com. Ultra Methylene Red capsules now on sale. And if you subscribe, you get it for 50% off. And folks, if you are feeling mentally drained by 2 p.m., if you're struggling to stay sharp, focused, and energized through your day, you need Ultra Methylene Red. It's a powerhouse formula designed to support brain energy, mental clarity, and cellular performance from the inside out. Every serving delivers active B vitamins your body can actually use, including methylated folate and methocobalamin B12. It's a mouthful, but it's a very powerful product. Plus a massive 5,000 micrograms of B12 to help support healthy energy production and focus. You also get 500 milligrams of TMG and ALC to support cognitive performance and brain metabolism, 300 milligrams of uridine monophosphate for neural support, and 100 milligrams of CoQ10, which everybody knows is one of the most powerful supplements on the market. And it packs a powerful punch in Methylene Red. CoQ10 helps fuel your cells at the mitochondrial level. There's no fluff. No pixie dust formulas, just targeted ingredients working together to help you stay dialed in, productive, and mentally ready for whatever the day or the world throws at you. Get it today. 3 capsules a day, and your life will change. So every bottle is about a month's supply, and you can get it now for discount. I believe 35% off, if I'm not mistaken. That might be the tincture. We have, everything's on sale at different times. So the Methylene Red tincture is 35% off. And the new Methylene Red capsules are actually 50% off when you subscribe. You can get them for half off and get them delivered and know that they'll be in stock even if we sell out. Otherwise, anybody who pre-ordered or has it on subscription will get it delivered. That's Methylene Red capsules now on sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Before we go out to calls, I got a couple more things to do here. For one, I want to give you an update to Chud the Builder, aka Dalton Eatherly's bond hearing today. I'm getting a bunch of different, maybe I need to wait for tomorrow because everything I read about this has different information. But what I understand now at this point is that his bond was only raised to, or was only lowered to 1 million from 1.25 million. See, this one says the judge did not reduce it, but I saw another report that said it was reduced. So I was going to read this, but I was like, you know what? I don't think that's actually right. So I need to get this confirmed before I actually bring you this. But they do say that video evidence was presented with supporters saying it clearly shows Joshua Fox, the man who Chud the Builder shot in self-defense, initiated the confrontation after Chud was walking away. Supposedly, he also was heard making threats to Dalton's life, basically saying, I'll kill you, as he attacks him. And basically everything that we're seeing, presented at this point is making the argument in favor of this being self-defense and, you know, Dalton being basically in the right in this self-defense situation. It's headed to a grand jury, bond slightly lowered. And we can go to the video here. The guy's name is Anthony Vo. Clip number four. I believe he's a January 6er. Here he is. He was actually at the hearing, was kicked out for some reason. He doesn't say why he was removed from the hearing, but here he is saying what he saw in the Chud the Builder hearing that happened earlier today.
I just got removed from Chud the Builder's court hearing, but I am here to say that it's probably safely a self-defense issue. The other guy, Joshua Fox, definitely attacked Chud the Builder, and it's going to be a clear-cut case of self-defense. So any holding of him on bail is total bullshit, and he needs to be released. Chud did nothing wrong. He was right to defend himself. Josh Black was having a PTSD episode. He approached Chud first and threatened his life. He said I was going to kill him. So that's that.
Yeah, so like I said, there's a lot of conflicting information about this. I'll look into it and bring you the full story. This is from Archetype Theory, who's been a good resource for this stuff. He says, so apparently he had a ticket to Istanbul where he was going to do a promotional event to play poker, but basically they were presenting that as if he was going to flee to Turkey to avoid justice. The bond reset from $1.25 million to $1 million. He stays in custody while the court reviews his source of funds. They want to determine whether donations from platforms like GiveSendGo can be used for bonds. They have not ruled against him using these funds. A source hearing is required. If released, the conditions are GPS monitoring, surrender of all firearms, a gag order prohibiting him from discussing the case on social media and in interviews, a passport surrender, travel restrictions. The case is now bound over to grand jury preliminary hearing still set for May 26th. New evidence from today, at least 12 courthouse cameras captured the altercation. Prosecutors say Eatherly reached for his weapon first. Seven shots fired total. He claims self-defense and says he was reaching reflexively for mace, which he always has on him, but was confiscated a week prior by police. So that's an interesting development as well. And of course, I think that you would think his self-defense argument would be bolstered at least a little bit by the fact that he shot himself in the struggle. Like, it doesn't seem like he was just like, oh, look, a black guy. Bang, I was doing self-defense. I mean, if you shoot yourself in the leg, you were probably in a pretty desperate straits. You know, you probably weren't like in control of the situation and able to, you know, act with total freedom of movement. You don't shoot yourself in the leg if that's the case. So not great, not terrible. But, you know, honestly, he might be safer in prison. He might be safer in custody than out because people still hate this guy. And if he's forced to give up his guns, you know, people are going to know that. They know where he lives. Might not actually be the safest thing for him to be out on the streets right now, unfortunately, but that's the world we live in. With that, we go out to your calls, even though I do have one. I've got one more very funny video to show you. It's a good one. Clip 25. Then we'll go directly out to calls, but this is a woman who is holding one of these big signs that shows like an aborted fetus and she's protesting at a fair or something. And these two leftists come up and get in an argument with a couple of 11-year-olds about abortion and they very handily lose the argument. It's very funny. Let's go to clip 25 here.
Hey, don't be influenced by these people.
Hey, we're having a great conversation. It's really rude to interrupt. These ladies approached me.
How about you?
Yeah.
How do you get that? And you say that's okay.
Because
that's
a baby.
A baby?
Yeah, it
is. I'm a living person.
I can promise you, I don't have to sell the baby. That's not one. I've never had an abortion, but guess what? If I got raped, I would get an abortion.
No.
You would just do adoption.
My auntie got raped and she didn't abort her baby.
Yeah, but what if you don't have the ability?
My auntie.
You don't have the ability. Mm-hmm. What if you? How old are you?
You want to talk to her?
Ten.
How old are you?
14.
Okay. How old are you?
14.
Okay. These ladies could teach you a lot, actually. They've been talking to me this entire conversation.
But I will play this account.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
I know this person so much. I promise you.
Yeah, you came up here and started telling them lies.
So I didn't really, I thought those other girls were older. I guess they're only 14, but it's kind of weird, isn't it? Like, what happens between 11 and 14 to American kids? 10 to 11 year olds seem to get it. I love that they're mocking them. she's like, well, good for your mom. She's like, my aunt. Okay. The little girl's like, nah. She's like, that's the response basically you need to have. It's like, that's a baby. And they're like, no, it's not. You need to go, yeah, yes, it is. That's it. That's the argument. So I love it. I mean, you know, it's crazy. It's just crazy that anybody's on those other two people's side. You literally see a picture of an aborted baby and you're just like, that's not a baby. It's like, no, you're a demon. You're clearly a demon. It's kind of like the IQ meme, but instead of IQ, it's age or something where it's like kids get it. Mature people get it. It's whatever this middle ground, this no man's land of stupid teenagers and young adults filled up with lies and confidence they don't deserve. Let's go to line two here. Joshua in Missouri. Go ahead, Joshua. You're on the air.
Hey, hi, Harrison. I just wanted to say I switched over from InfoWars to you guys, and it's so hard to find you guys on Rumble. Your highest Rumble channel with the most viewers, it's not even you right now.
I know. Well, the problem is there's like a lot of Rumble channels. I'm not even sure which one is our official one. So the official Alex Jones one is rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. So that's the official one. You can go directly to that URL. I believe the official War Room one is War Room Show Live. Is that right? Or is it War Room Live? Let me get the official, The War Room Show Live. Rumble.com. I'm going to figure this out right now. We're doing it live. /TheWarRoomShowLive. Let's see if that comes up. Not found. What did we do wrong? Is it the War Room Live? I did. The War Room Live. Yeah, there you go. The War Room Live. Okay. See, we don't even know what we're doing here. This is all chaos. So it's not you. It's not you, Joshua. Fear not. It's our fault. Rumble.com/TheWarRoomLive is how you find the War Room. Rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive is how you find the Alex Jones Show. So you should be able to go to those URLs, bookmark them, follow us on Rumble, make a Rumble account, follow us. That's a great way to do it. And hopefully that'll work out. Does that clarify things a little bit, Joshua?
Yes. Thank you so much. I love the superfood greens. Gotta have it every morning. Love the show.
Thank you very much. Optimal human. Superfood greens. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison. Let them know who sent you. Thank you, Joshua. So yeah, rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive, rumble.com/TheWarRoomLive. You can go there and comment. You know, I'll just start doing it right now and just keeping an eye on the, comments here. So there you go. Let's go to whoever called in next. It looks like Judy in Florida is next on the list. There you go. Hey. Judy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Harrison. It's good to speak with you again. When I was watching J.D. Lang, or Jake Lang, forgive me.
Jake Lang,
yeah. I realized, I mean, that's the type of energy that's really needed by European men, Christian men, in our country anyway. I'd love to see, you know, more Tommy Robinsons at work and all of that. Also, just to bring up Jamie Walden, who is he's a Marine. He's a pastor out in Colorado. I actually met him in Missouri last August, and he's got a bunch of other credentials. He just simply is one of those people that are really on fire. I mean, he's not about America anymore so much as, you know, he is for the kingdom. But, you know, Christians, you know, particularly Christian men, they're of course supposed to, you know, act as if, you know, they're going to continue regarding the future. I mean, it's just like Michael Yon, his wife is now pregnant. I mean, you would think it would be one of the last things people would want to do in this day and age, but they're joyous, and they're going to have a baby. So, I mean, things are, humans are doing what humans have always done. We continue. But it's like, you know, if part of it is that, you know, the love of money is like, you know, the root of all kinds of evil. You know, you think about what Jake Lang was speaking to. I mean, I don't know if these council people get paid at all, but they're probably getting paid to have a lot of the passive stances that they are to let, you know, evil continue in their communities. And it's just like those that are building 5 and 6G, you know, they're, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars these, you know, electricians or whomever are, you know, putting up these towers that are going to, you know, eventually fry them, you know, them also. Same with the pilots that fly the chemical particulate trails all over the skies. I mean, these, it's a like a psychopathy.
Yeah.
You know, it is, you know, they do not care. From what I understand, the pilots do not have children. And they just, they, you know, it's not hearsay. I don't remember what report I was hearing about it, but it's like, you know, when they don't care, it's like, yeah, we'll spray the skies for, like, you know, 7 figures, you know, right. You know, whatever. So, I mean, this is it's diabolical by nature. I mean, and, yeah, I think anti-Semitism is one of the major answers. It's like, no, we're not going to shut up.
Yeah.
We're not going to stop talking about the synagogue of Satan. Thank you. You know,
right.
go to your Eyes Wide Shut party and leave us alone.
I think you're exactly right, and I think, again, you know, that Jake Lang energy, that is exactly what we need. We should be that angry about what's happening here. And again, white people, I pointed out a million times, it is a weird form of white supremacy. It's like an inverted white supremacy where white people literally don't think that white people are under threat or could ever be under threat or will ever go extinct or, you know, be replaced in their homelands. It's this idea of just like, well, we're white, so we shouldn't care about that stuff. And it's like, you are a human being. These people are human beings. You can die like everybody else can die. You can be destroyed like every other race can be destroyed. You deserve protection like every race deserves protection. What the hell are you talking about? It's crazy, man. It really is this sense of, like, superiority, genuinely, I feel. And it's what makes people uncomfortable because they don't like feeling superior. They don't, you know, and it's imbued with this concept of, like, we're supposed to take on some sort of artificial subservience. It's ridiculous. And the thing is, we have to claim ownership of what we built. And I remember thinking about this when it was like Black Lives Matter or something, or some big protest that was going on. And it was like, I think I tweeted out something like, you know, white people need gangs. And it's like, actually, our gang is called the police, right? It's supposed to be that America is our nation. They're on our team. There are guys. So, like the other, like the Crips and the Bloods, they have their own, that's their gang, and they have their own power structure, and they have their own enforcers, and we have a much, much, much more powerful, more well-organized, and more functional game called the police and the U.S. military, and they're supposed to be our guys and have our back and support our interest and defend our people. But instead, it's like, no, the American society is for everybody else, and it's there to protect everybody else, and white people just get destroyed or discriminated or demonized by it. But no, we should reclaim it. We should really reclaim it and just remind everybody, like, these are our guys. This is our country. This is our, just like how Israel is. And, you know, some people will point to that and they'll go, oh, anti-Semites are just jealous of Israel. To a certain extent, yeah. And it's not jealousy necessarily. It's just frustration in that the same people that will basically say you deserve to die for daring to dislike Israel will give away our country for free and call you evil for trying to stop it. So there's a inconsistency there. And it's not that the American people don't want to have sovereignty over ourselves and, you know, pursue American interests to the exclusion of all others. It's that our government is full of literal Israelis who won't let us and who pull the strings and who quash that immediately, even though they're willing to and, you know, very outspoken for exactly the same policies in Israel that they oppose here. It's, you know, that frustration is overwhelming. And at the end of the day, I don't want what Israel has because I don't want to be enemies with our neighbors. I don't want to murder everybody in Mexico and then take it over and say that God promised it to us 3,000 years ago. I don't want to be anything like that. I completely reject and abhor the way Israel behaves. But if we could have 10% of that, if we could just defend our border with 10% of the, you know, power that Israel defends its border, if we could go after our enemies with 10% of the might that Israel goes after its enemies, then we'd be fine. We'd be great. And we wouldn't be puppets of Israel. So yeah, it's extremely frustrating that over decade and decade and decade, we used to be a lot more like that. Like Americans used to be a hell of a lot more forthright and upfront and, you know, self-serving. And it worked and it was good. Anyway, let's go to, thank you for the call, Judy. As always, let's go to Joshua in Louisiana now. Go ahead, Joshua on line 5. Hold on. You're on the air. Go ahead, Joshua.
How you doing? It's an honor to talk to you.
Good to hear from you.
I've been listening to Alex since 2008. I'm 40 now. And I was going to talk to you about the King of Israel, Donald Trump's thing. But instead, I kind of think I have on my mind to talk to you about this problem we're having with these towns and cities in our country are being overrun by foreigners. And I have children. I'm from Louisiana, West Louisiana, right on the Texas line. But I got kids that live in upstate New York. At one time, they actually lived in Niagara Falls, New York, about 20 miles from Buffalo. And it used to be, like, you would think that growing up, you know, you always heard about Niagara Falls. And I come up here every month because I work cross-country as an electrician, but I come up here every month and spend time with them. And it's overrun by halal restaurants. It's a complete, it looks like third world South Africa, where South Africa is starting to become like it. You got Indian, you got Muslim, you got it's not just black people that are really tore up here neither. It's the white people too. And to the point that it's like it's a complete depression going on up here. You got these old downtown districts of Niagara Falls, New York, that look like most of the shops are abandoned and overrun and condemned. They just found a 10-year-old girl wrapped up dead in a mattress in an attic over here. Oh, wow. It's a huge location that used to have – it has all these old houses that were built here through the last 100 years – that have been completely just destroyed. And then, when you know the stuff we know about the destruction of the family and BlackRock taking over all these houses and turning them into Airbnbs. And it's sad to see, man. And it's coming from the South. It's scary down there because we got our issues down there too. But up north, in New York State, especially, I'm pretty sure California, certain parts of Colorado too, man. It's really, really depressing, and it's a wave of destruction that's taking people over, especially kids.
Yeah, and of course, you know, it's a feedback loop, right? The kids are going to grow up there, and you know, it's going to be awful, so they're going to leave. They're not going to send any money back, so it's only going to get worse. I mean, it is a feedback loop, and I mean, it's the same all over the country. Our small towns have been completely gutted. I was talking about it a couple weeks ago. Driving through small towns in Texas and just seeing just hollowed out, just nothing. It's all just trash and scrap metal. But you know what would help with all that? $5 billion a day. I bet we could fix that problem if only we had $5 billion a day to spend on the American people. Probably wouldn't be that big of an issue. We could probably refurbish the downtowns, you know, create small businesses in all the small towns all over the country, rebuild it for the American people. But we're not doing that, are we? We are spending $5 billion, though. Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is our new normal. F*** that, dude. I want to live
in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. A massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the Sea Moss capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Gummies.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.